This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Everybody, TGIF, happy Friday. We are only 1 hour into Friday, but it is the weekend. It is Halloween weekend. The moon is bright, and hopefully, whether you're in Halloween, if you're in the mood for a fright or just in the mood for candy, hopefully you will stay tuned to us for the next 4 hours. We've got an action-packed show for you today, and as we do each and every Friday, we are going to begin by giving you an opportunity to ask anything about anything. It's time for
The Other Side of Midnight proudly presents Ask Frank Anything.
That's right. I am prepared to tackle your questions on absolutely any subject. Well, almost. If you have questions about politics, cinema, gambling, cocktails, motion pictures, Halloween, the food, business, you need advice on something, you want to know my opinion on anything, now is the time. Any subject is fair game. The one thing I am going to ask you, though, if you have a question about the Cuomo situation, we're going to delve deeply into that, meaning his charges, not the political ramifications of it, but the charges that are coming out of Albany County. We're going to delve deep into that in the 2 o'clock hour. So if you have questions about Cuomo, I would just ask you to hold them until 2 o'clock. But if you have questions about anything else, now's the time to call and ask them. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let us begin with Pete's in Piscataway. It's that-a-way. Hello, Pete.
Hi, Frank. I'm going to give you a hypothetical question concerning World War II.
I'm ready.
What World War II scares you, scares you the most? Murmansk run, flying over Germany and bombing runs, or fighting with the 1st Marine Division in the Pacific?
I would say probably the fighting with the 1st Marine Division in the Pacific. But I would say, you know, it's one of those things where it's like alien versus predator. Whichever situation emerges, you lose either way. It's a pretty scary situation regardless. Personally,
I always took the Marine Division. I'll be blown out of the sky, so...
Yeah. Well, hey, Pete, I don't know that I have your physical courage. Thank you. 800-848-WABC. Answering your questions on any subject. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Bill in Huntington. Hello, Bill.
How you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
There's another Frank that's a radio host on your station, and he talks about Curtis and his 17 cats constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he doesn't say good things about it.
All right, well, I mean, maybe you should just call him rather than call me and ask me about it.
I wouldn't get a word in.
Okay.
But yeah. I want to ask you, do you think it's positive or negative that he has all of these alley cats?
I'll be honest with you. I do think it's a net positive. I think that is an issue, the animal rights issue and the cat issue specifically, that doesn't traditionally resonate with right-leaning voters. It traditionally resonates more with left-leaning voters. And I think that's going to be one of the many issues that Curtis is actually able to turn some Democratic votes his way on. And I think that animal rights issue is going to motivate, one, people that wouldn't ordinarily care about a mayor's race, and two, people that generally vote Democrat. So I do think it's a positive. 800-848-9222. I am answering your questions on any subject. It does not have to be political. In fact, I sort of prefer that it not be political. But any question from A to Z, motion pictures, gambling, cocktails, food, pro wrestling, aliens. You want to know inside radio stories. You have questions about the radio business. You have questions about, New York City in general, anything I'm doing, any of my preferences, you want advice on a certain situation, now's the time. 800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to Drew in White Plains. Hello, Drew.
Hey, what's going on, Frank? Quick two-part question. Frank,
yes.
When Spataki left office in 2002, do you remember who put up the toughest, the closest statewide election, meaning comptroller, New York State governor,
yes,
any of those elections.
Yeah, I know what statewide means, Drew.
Since Pataki left office.
Oh, yeah, you want to know what Republican has done best since Pataki left?
Yes.
Harry Wilson in 2010.
Nailed it. Nailed it, Frank. I didn't think you would get that.
You didn't think I would get it? Drew, I've forgotten more about New York state politics than most people learn in five lifetimes.
Frank, first off, Republicans are blowing it by not running him for governor. Harry Wilson's a great candidate. But on top of that, Frank, this Tish James running, I see the only way, and tell me, and I want your analysis on this, for her to win is if she dominates in New York City, which I feel like is going to be tough. But I feel like Long Island has already blackballed her. I'm in a group called Long Island for Biden on Facebook.
Drew, questions, less like comments, more questions. What's your question?
Oh, sorry. They don't like that she's running. Where does Tish James have to dominate at outside of New York City in order for her to get the Democratic nomination?
Well, she needs to do very well.
How can she?
Yeah, well, so she needs to do very well in the cities. She needs to do well in Buffalo, Syracuse, Yonkers. She needs to do well in Westchester County in general, and she needs to hold her own in Long Island. You have to figure Hochul's going to run up the score in Western New York. How can she? Well, the easiest way for her to win and dominate in all those places is for Jumaane Williams not to run. So how can she is to cut some sort of a deal. And I'm not implying anything nefarious, but cut some sort of above board deal where Jumaane Williams would be her lieutenant governor or would be chairman of the Democratic Party or would do something other than run against her. Because if I were her, I'd be concerned that Jumaane Williams would otherwise be cutting into her percentage of the black vote. The other alternative for her is to lobby aggressively for ranked choice voting at the statewide level in statewide primaries. Because if we had ranked choice voting at a statewide level, then people would be able to rank Jumaane Williams first and Letitia James second. Seeing as we don't have that now and they can't do that now, that's going to hurt her as long as Jumaane stays in this race. Answering your questions on any subject, 1-800-848-9222. Eddie is in Ocean County. Hello, Eddie.
Hi, good morning, Frank. Do you think that the Republicans have a possible chance to pick up 60-seat filibuster-proof majority in the Senate within the next couple of years? That means four, like they have four seats they could take now in 22 and another eight possibly in 24.
You know, I don't know enough about which seats are up for grabs that the Republicans are vulnerable in and versus what seats the Democrats are vulnerable in. I think 60 votes is tough given how polarized the country is right now. I do think they'll get a majority, but I don't see them getting 60 votes, Eddie. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Answering your questions on any subject, 1-800-848-WABC. Please, you know, we have our whole lives to talk about politics. It's Friday. It's the weekend. It's a holiday weekend. Try and come up with some questions about things other than politics as well. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Rosemary in the Hudson Valley. Hello, Rosemary.
Hi, I have a silly one for you.
Love it.
When you ask, like, once in a while, I think, I'm not sure if you do it all the time, when you go, I have a question for you, and I want you to answer on this question. Mm-hmm. And then that pre-recorded voice goes, a question. And it sounds like it's from an old sci-fi flick. Do you know what one that would be?
Yeah, that's a great question. And if people don't know what Rosemary is talking about, let me play it for you.
A question. Since before your sun burned hot in space, and before your race was born, I have awaited a question.
That is from the Star Trek episode, one of the best known Star Trek episodes of all time. That's from The City on the Edge of Forever. And that is the Guardian of Forever. And the voice, and Star Trek fans will appreciate this, the voice in of the Guardian in the original series is Bartel LaRue, who's a famous voiceover actor. But when they brought him back for the animated series, he was voiced by James Doohan, who's better known to Star Trek fans as Scotty. But it's a great question, Rosemary. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Mark in Garden City. Hello.
Hi, Frank.
How's it going?
It's going well. Frank, I just wanted to ask you, why do you do, and I'm sure you have a good reason for it, but... why do you do the Atlantic City Report, which I love, at 3 a.m. on Thursdays? Is there a reason for that? Because I wish you would make it earlier, because that's one of the things that I really like on your show. It's only once a week, and I'm usually sleeping by then, unfortunately, so I don't get to hear it.
Well, that's a good question, Mark. There's not that good of a reason for it. It's I pick Thursdays because I feel like Thursday is still early enough in the week that people might be making their plans for the weekend. If they're trying to figure out what they're going to do this weekend, maybe we'll give them something to consider. And really, it was that one of the few days where we didn't have anything else scheduled, right? We do denunciations on Friday. We do commendations on Monday. We were doing Stump Frank on Wednesday. Now we do the mail on Tuesday. We usually do a segment on aliens or the paranormal in the 2 o'clock hour. So it was really, in part, a consideration of when people start making their weekend plans, and in part because we had no other, what they call in radio, benchmarks at that time.
Well, that's a good reason, Frank. I just want to put in my plug to have it earlier on whatever night you want to do it, because I do like to listen to it, and a lot of times I'm not still
alive. All right. Well, maybe we'll review that, Mark. I don't see any reason why we can't consider that. Thank you for your question. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to Dave in Manhattan. Hello, Dave.
Good morning, Frank. Frank, I would like you to please consider the WABC radio stable of on-air personalities. Consider their demeanor, presentation, personality, physical appearance, even attire. Which professional wrestler does each remind you of? And here's the part B to that question. Which wrestling manager does John Katsimatidis remind you of?
Okay, so I'm going to have to – this is a question I wish that I had gotten before the show so I could think about it for a few minutes. But let me kind of do the best that I can. Well, look, I think that in terms of wrestling managers, you know, I have to think that maybe – Yeah, I was going to say initially the Million Dollar Man, but the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, was such a villain, and John is very generous, and he's not a villain at all. So I want to think about John Katsimatidis for a second. But in terms of the professional wrestlers versus the WABC lineup, I have to think that Sid Rosenberg is probably Lex Luger, because he just has this incredible physique, and I think it would probably be either Lex Luger or Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. In terms of Bernard McGurk, I would think he's somebody who's maybe a little bit, obviously not as big, a little thinner, and more known for charisma rather than brute strength. Maybe somebody like Shawn Michaels. Brian Kilmeade, I see him being someone who was a reliable mid-carder, a guy who wasn't overly ostentatious, maybe somebody like a solid performer, maybe somebody like B. Brian Blair. In terms of Greg Kelly, you get the sense he's always got a smirk to him. I would think maybe he's somebody like Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig. Mark Levin, that's a good question. Mark Levin is such a showman. He might be, and he's somebody that really enjoys mixing it up with people and also an incredible gift of gab. I would say Mark Levin might be Rowdy Roddy Piper. Who do we have on at 9? Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly, a crafty old veteran that still does great ratings and that a lot of people look up to and love to have on. Bill O'Reilly might be, and he's so tall, Bill O'Reilly might be Hulk Hogan because he still gets the job done, still delivers big ratings and makes money for himself and the station. He might be Hulk Hogan. Then at 10 p.m. we have Rita Cosby. Rita Cosby would probably be, I don't know, Lydia Serrani is Sensational Sherry. Rita Cosby is, I don't know, maybe she's Miss Elizabeth or Sable from a different era. And Juliette Huddy, I would say, is probably Terry Runnels, a.k.a. Marlena, the ex-wife of Dustin Rhodes. That's my take. I want to think about the manager for John Catsimatidis. Maybe it's James E. Cornette. Maybe it's Bobby the Brain Heenan. One of those two. I don't think either is a perfect fit, but it's one of those two. We'll continue with your questions in just a minute. 800-848-9222. Answering your questions on any subject. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
77 WABC, All-American.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano. 77 WABC.
My eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash.
Well, that's right. Sunday is Halloween, so we may squeeze in a few Halloween songs from now until the end of the program, and maybe on Monday as well. But for now, we are answering your questions on any subject.
The Other Side of Midnight proudly presents Ask Frank.
Ask Frank Anything.
Ask Frank Anything.
Ask Frank Anything.
Ask Frank Anything.
And let me begin with Nick in Whippany, New Jersey. What's your question, Nick?
Oh, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Roddy Piper made. The Wrestler?
They Live, yes. Of course I saw it.
Yeah,
that's a John Carpenter
sci-fi
film.
Sci-fi movie he made.
Yeah, They Live.
Like,
yeah, it's called They Live.
Yeah, those guys had to wear glasses. And
yes,
I'm
very familiar with it. It's a John Carpenter film, yes.
Yeah, and then they finally, revealed...
Yeah, well, don't give any spoilers away, Nick, because people may not have seen it, and people like seeing John Carpenter films for Halloween. So, yes, of course I've seen it. 800-848-9222, answering your questions on any subject. 1-800-848-WABC. Brian is in Wakefield. Hello, Brian.
Yeah, hi, Frank. One of the previous speakers had mentioned how she was walking down the street and felt like she was getting stoned from all the marijuana smoke. I wonder, you know, it's something that I don't really like, and I was wondering if you think there's any anything that can be done about it, and if it might become a political issue because of it being so prevalent.
Well, it's a good question. Well, there was a time when you couldn't go into a restaurant here in New York City without smelling tobacco smoke. And it would make me sick to go into a lot of restaurants or catering halls. You go there for a wedding or a cocktail party or something, and you feel like you need to cough up a lung because everyone was smoking tobacco. And I had my doubts about the smoking ban in restaurants and public places when it was implemented, both citywide and statewide. But I think it... In terms of quality of life, it has worked out well, not just for the patrons, but it's worked out great for the people that work in those restaurants. So I suspect that there are going to be a lot of people that feel like Rita Cosby felt, and that I don't think you'll ever get the genie back in the bottle in terms of criminalizing recreational marijuana smoking again. But I could see a scenario in which people get sick of getting this contact high walking down the streets of New York. I could see a situation where something is done about it. What the something is, Brian, I don't know. But I can tell you that's not just a situation in New York. That's the case in Las Vegas as well. When I was in Las Vegas in, I guess it was March, it reeked of marijuana. Every block reeked of marijuana. Absolutely, really, really rough situation. Meantime, I will continue answering your questions at 800-848-9222. But I have a question for you. Why have you not yet ordered Life Change Tea? You've heard me talking about these commercials. And if you've asked yourself what Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com is, let me tell you, Life Change Tea is a gentle daily cleanse that tastes great and works to get things moving. That's why they call it the tea that makes you go. It's a cold tea. It's delicious. Comes in three great flavors. And if you're feeling stopped up and bloated, that's never a good thing. Life Change Tea will get that bloat out of your system. It'll help keep you regular. It gets everything moving. It is all natural. No chemicals, no preservatives, no GMOs. One package will last you a whole month, and it's only available if you go to the website GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com, and if you use the promo code Frank. GetTheTea.com, promo code Frank, free shipping anywhere in these United States. They have a lot of other great products on there, and same deal for them. If you use the promo code Frank, you will get to enjoy free shipping anywhere in these United States. Ray is in Queens. What's your question, Ray?
Good morning, Frank. I'm just curious, do you know what movie the expression ZVBXRPL played a significant role?
ZB, give me it again, ZB.
ZV as in Victor, mm-hmm. BXRPL.
No, it doesn't ring a bell.
I'll give you a hint. Get you Tootsie Fruitsie, nice ice cream.
I don't know. You got me.
You say you're a Marx Brothers fan. Did you see A Day at the Races?
Oh, I have seen A Day at the Races. It's been a while. It's from
okay,
that.
The scene where Groucho goes to the racetrack and Chico is the ice cream salesman. Get you Tootsie Fruitsie. And he tells Groucho, I don't really sell ice cream. I sell tips on the horses. So Groucho gives him a dollar, and he hands him a slip of paper, and on the slip of paper is written ZVBXRPL. And Groucho looks up at the odds board, says, what number is he?
That's very funny. That's very funny.
And Chico says, no, that's not the name of the horse. That's the code. And they go through this whole scene. It's hysterical.
Yeah. Thank you, Ray. I'm a Marx Brothers fan. It might be time for me to rewatch Day at the Races. Got a question here via email. Frank, do you intend to get a booster shot? I think you're entitled because you have psoriasis, an autoimmune condition. Yes, I'm going to get a booster shot whatever. I don't remember when I got my last shot, but I'll get it whatever the prescribed amount of months are for me to get a booster shot. But yes, I absolutely will get a booster shot. No doubt about it. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Come up with some good questions, some creative questions. Don't make Ryan the call screener look bad by coming up with boring questions. 800-848-WABC. Susan is in Queens. Hey, Susan.
Yeah, hi. Are you going to use the family name for the baby?
Absolutely, yes, 100%.
And one thing, Frank, keep thinking pink. Think pink.
Think pink. Okay, I like it.
Yeah, listen, God bless you.
Thank you, Susan. I appreciate it. 800-848-WABC, answering your questions on any subject. 800-848-WABC. Mike is in Manhattan. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Frank. On the previous program, you mentioned that Andrew Cuomo had $18 million. Is that considered campaign contributions that he was
getting? Yes, those are all money that he got in campaign contributions, yes.
Now the thing I don't understand is obviously he's not going to be campaigning. Now,
well, don't be so sure that that's obvious. I mean, yeah. Anthony Weiner, after he resigned from Congress, he kept his campaign funds and then used that money to run for mayor 3 years later.
That was my question. Now, can he just keep that money and use it for anything?
Well, he can't use it for anything. He can't put it in his pocket and go to the mall and buy I'm trying to think what the restrictions are. He can use it for almost anything, right? So he can use it to pay lawyers. He can use it to hire a staff and maintain an office. He can use it to buy products that are somehow related to either a potential future run run for office or maintenance around a previous run for office. So that's why I hesitated when I say he can't buy televisions. You could make a case that he could buy televisions if that's a campaign office that needs televisions. He can't put it in his pocket, but he could use it for almost anything else. He could donate it to other politicians. He could use it for travel. If he's meeting with people, even ostensibly related to electoral campaigns or politics, he can use that to pick up a lot of restaurant and dinner tabs. He can't use it for, he can't use it to pay his daughter's college tuition. Can't do that. But he can use it for a wide variety of subjects and a wide variety of things, even somewhat related to politicking.
That's what I was curious about. And can I ask you a quick question about Abbott and Costello?
Sure.
I remember you saying that they were your favorite comedy act, and I agree with you. I love their movies, but do you remember their half-hour TV show?
100%. In fact, my wife and I were just watching an episode of it recently. Big fan
that
of that show.
That was a great show.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I mean,
Bacigalup,
Fields,
Mike the Cop, absolutely.
Yeah, that was a tremendous show. And I even heard Jerry Seinfeld say that was one of his favorite shows of all time.
Yeah, I've heard him say that as well. And in fact, about 20 years ago, maybe actually it's a little more, maybe it's about 25 years ago, Jerry Seinfeld hosted a terrific special on Abbott and Costello. It's called, I don't know if it's available anywhere now, the only time I saw it when it was on 25 years ago, called Abbott and Costello Meet Jerry Seinfeld. And he talked about his experience and how that influenced his career. And it's a really wonderful little made-for-television film. I think it's about almost about 30 years old, but I definitely recommend it if people haven't seen it.
Okay. And can I throw in a quick third point? Pro wrestler,
sure.
Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah, I've interviewed Diamond Dallas Page. Big fan of his, and he's doing great work with DDP Yoga. And, you know, I'm so pleased to see him do so well because there are so many wrestlers that meet a tragic end and die at a young age. Not only is he helping a lot of people, but he's actually helping a lot of wrestlers who are having a tough time these days. So I'm a big admirer of Diamond Dallas Page. He is the people's champion, and he's somebody that was a fan. He was primarily a wrestling fan, and then he broke into the business by lending his car. He worked so hard to get into wrestling. He became a wrestler at a relatively old age. I mean, most guys.
Was he a manager too?
Yes, he was. Most guys start out as, in their early 20s, their late teens. He didn't break into professional wrestling until, I think, his 30s, and he was so desperate to get into it. He would lend wrestling promoters his car just so he could be at the events. And he's got a great history. In fact, I'm going to invite him back on the show so we could go through some of those histories, some of that history. He's an incredible person and really quite an inspiration to me, quite frankly, in terms of picking a goal and sticking to it. 800-848-WABC, answering your questions on any subject. Marty is in Maplewood. Hello, Marty.
Yeah, Frank, you seem to have certainly a tremendous knowledge of professional wrestling, and it's obvious that you love talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to compare the wrestlers of today versus the wrestlers of 30, 40, 50 years ago, the wrestlers, for example, back in the 60s, 70s, maybe early 80s, would you compare them favorably? In other words, do you think the wrestlers of today are as good fundamentally? And how do you think they would fare against the top wrestlers back in, for example, San Martino's days, Killer Kowalski, you know, guys like that. How would the wrestlers today fare against them?
Okay, well, so the question you ask is how would you compare the wrestlers today to 30, 40, and 50 years ago? Now, those three eras are, well, not so much 50 years ago, but 30, 40, and say 60 years ago are three different eras in pro wrestling. But now, 30 years ago, the wrestlers that were dominating the national scene were these roided up figures that were not big on wrestling ability, that could speak very well, and that were almost like bodybuilders that couldn't wrestle for the most part. There were some exceptions, especially in the NWA NWA territories that couldn't wrestle for more than 10 minutes. Now, 40 years ago is a different situation. 40 years ago, you're talking 1980, 1981. That's before Vincent K. McMahon came on the scene. That's when you had wrestlers like Bob Backlund dominating the wrestling scene. 50 years ago, if we're talking around 1970, that's a different situation as well. And you mentioned San Martino specifically. San Martino, they were desperate to get him to be in the WWE Hall of Fame, and he had been done with the WWE, was not interested in anything to do with the product. And Triple H, who in addition to being Vince McMahon's son-in-law, is one of the head guys at the WWE now, he called Bruno Sammartino on the phone, and he said, Bruno, have you taken a look at our product lately? And he said, look at these guys. And Bruno, by his own admission, before he died, he turned on wrestling programming and he said, wow, this is not what I saw in the 80s and 90s. These guys are real athletes. They're not these roided up freaks that have no wrestling ability. So I think the wrestlers in 2020 and 2021 actually compare pretty favorably to the wrestlers of 1990 for different reasons, and even to the wrestlers of 1980. Now, if you go back farther than that, back then, so much of wrestling's appeal was regional, and because so much of it was regional, there was a tremendous desire to play ethnic favorites. Now, Bruno Sammartino was considered a hero of Americans of Italian descent, and that's why he drew so well in the Northeast. You also had Ivan Putski for the Polish community. You had Chief J. Strongbow, who I don't even think was really American Indian, but designed to appeal to American Indians. You had all sorts of people that were designed to check an ethnic box. These days, you don't see that anymore. You almost see wrestlers try to downplay their ethnicity. As far as how they'd compare, look, Bruno Sammartino was amazing in his era, not only for selling out Madison Square Garden more times than any performer in history. Notice what I said, not wrestler, but performer. More than any boxer, more than any concert performer. He sold out more Madison Square Garden more times than anybody. But what made him so amazing is he had this such incredible strength. Even critics of his acknowledged that he was the strongest guy they ever wrestled against. And he did that. He was able to acquire that incredible brute strength in an era where there was no steroids or anything like that. If you look at microphone ability and the ability to tell a story, not just with your body, but with your mouth as well as your body, I don't know that the wrestlers of the 70s compare as well to the wrestlers of today, quite frankly.
How do you think someone like who I think Sammartino beat, who had the title, I think he held the title for about 10 or 15 years, Buddy Rogers.
Buddy Rogers, yeah. Well, Buddy Rogers, I think, actually would fit in very well. Buddy Rogers is very similar to my favorite wrestler, Ric Flair. They were both the Nature Boy, and Ric Flair's whole act was largely inspired by Buddy Rogers. And I think Buddy Rogers would do well today. And it's funny to hear Bruno tell the story of wrestling Buddy Rogers in 1963 when he won his first championship, a championship reign which has still never been surpassed and will never be surpassed. He's got a Buddy Rogers in like a backbreaker or some sort of a submission hold, and he says, Buddy, you don't give me the title and I'm going to break your neck. And you could tell Bruno was not the kind of guy you wanted to mess with. But I think Buddy Rogers, because of his showmanship and his bleach blonde hair and his use of the figure four leg lock, I think guys like he and Gorgeous George would do very well today. And a lot of people don't realize that Gorgeous George was actually a tremendous influence on Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali talked about how even though Gorgeous George was the bad guy, he was the one that he emulated. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to Gregory in the Boogie Down Bronx. Hello, Gregory.
Hi, Frank. Following you for years, and I know that you're a huge cheese fan, but I've never really heard you say what you can cook, if you can cook, if your wife eats what you cook. So do you cook, and what is your specialty, or do you not cook?
It's a great question. I don't cook that often, But I can, my specialty in terms of cooking is the meal of breakfast. I can make eggs 9 different ways. You want, when I was courting my wife, she denies this now because she doesn't like to let me near the kitchen. She likes to have domain over that. When she and I were courting, she came over for dinner one day and I made her an omelet and I presented her with this omelet and she said, wow, this is almost like restaurant quality. So I have a very narrow specialty, but my specialty is eggs and breakfast in general. And Bill Cortez, noted political consultant Bill Cortez, when he was over, made the same remark about my omelet abilities. So it's that if I had to pick a specialty, it would be breakfast, eggs specifically. 800-848-9222, answering your questions on any subject. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to Sal in Brooklyn. Hello, Sal.
Hey, my friend Frank, how you doing?
Hanging in there, Sal. What's on your mind?
All right. One thing I want to hit. First of all, 2 questions. What's your favorite comedian? And do you think that the people are very happy and smiling when they cross the finish line in a marathon because they're 26.2 miles away from Staten Island?
Now, when you say my favorite comedian, do you mean currently or of all time?
Yeah, of all time, you know, any era.
Well, it's such a tough question to answer. I loved Jackie Mason. Would he be my favorite of all time? I don't know. Pat Cooper, I get a big kick out of. I don't think there were people funnier. I hate to say it now, given what happened, but I don't think there were many people funnier than Bill Cosby when he was recording his comedy albums. I think Don Rickles is great. It's Jerry Seinfeld is, of course, a master. But if I had to pick someone now who's living as a favorite comedian, I think it might be Tom Cotter, who's been a guest on this show. Tom Cotter is the funniest stand-up I've ever heard who's living. Who's living? Funniest living stand-up. 800-848-WABC. 2 open lines if you want to jump in with a question. Now's the time. 1-800-848-9222. And I'm happy to answer or try to answer your questions on any subject. I got an email here from Doug on the question about which radio personalities would be which pro wrestlers. Doug writes, Frank, you're Brett the Hitman Hart. Both of you are technicians employing a diverse palette of strategies. I don't know how you would look festooned in pink attire. Well, there's where you're wrong, Doug. I think I'd look quite good in pink. That's my answer to that. 800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to Milton in Queens. Hello, Milton.
Hi, Frank. Frank, 2 quick questions. Jack Nicholson was in a movie. I forget the name right now. Where he retired and he was driving around with a van.
Was it about Schmidt? Was that it?
Schmidt, that's it.
Yeah,
that's
it. I saw that in theaters. I liked that film very much.
It's a great movie. What bothered me is at the end, he was giving money to children.
Right, Indubu was the character. Dear Indubu, yes.
Why did he break down and cry at the end? Was it because this is what he came to at the end of his life, or... You know, he broke down and cried. That's where the movie ended. Do you know why?
Well, I think it's supposed to be open to interpretation. And again, I haven't seen the movie since it was in theaters about 19 years ago. But I think it was because he was, and again, I don't want to give too much of the film away because it is worth seeing if people haven't seen it, but this is not really giving anything away. I think it was because he was sad that Ndugu, who had taken up the role of basically the shoulder that he was crying on, the person that he was venting all his problems to, Ndugu couldn't understand what he was saying. And I think on the one hand, he was sad that the person that he was venting all his problems to couldn't even understand what he was saying, but I think it was also sad that here's this 6-year-old boy who has every disadvantage in the world, and he just wants the best for this old guy who really, in the grand scheme of things, has every advantage in the world. And I think it made him feel a little small on the one end. But I don't know, quite frankly. I think it's meant to be open to interpretation, Milton. Did you have another question?
I wanted to get your opinion. The second question is, I hope Curtis wins, but if for some reason he doesn't, is there any talk about him coming back to the station?
Well, I'm sure there is talk. I was listening to Bernie and Sid this morning. They were talking about it. I am sure he would come back. I don't know what specific day part he would do or what he would do. I don't know that it's not something. I was talking to Curtis literally right before I came on air today. He called. He's probably listening right now. So he's certainly welcome to text me if he wants something said on this. But I think Curtis is very much thinking in a winning mentality. So I haven't heard anything beyond what's going to happen after November 3rd. So we'll see. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. But I would imagine that there'll always be a place at WABC for Curtis Sliwa. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to Ken in South Dakota. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Ken, how's it going?
It's going well, Ken. What's your question?
Yeah, I'm out here in the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, and I hear you on a streaming service. So I used to live in Jersey City many years ago when they started making Cops, the program on TV, and they, you know, it went on for many, many, many years. They just took it off network. I want to know your opinion. Do you feel that that's a racist?
Well, so again, I don't think I've watched it in 25 years, but no, I think it, based on what I remember of it, it showed police officers, including many minority police officers, doing their job. Now, are there other concerns that maybe you don't want to show arrests as they're taking place because, I don't know, maybe you're violating someone's civil rights? Maybe, but from what I remember, they used to blur the perp's face out so you couldn't make out their identity. So when I watched it, and again, admittedly, it's been a couple of decades since I did. When I watched it, I didn't see any racial overtones to it at all, Ken, quite frankly. 800-848-9222. We'll continue with your questions throughout the hour. Got a question here regarding from Charlotte via email, and you can email me as well. frank.morano@wabcradio.com. That's frank.morano@wabcradio.com. Charlotte asks, how are the radio ratings done? I remember when Curtis Lee was Aunt Mary was alive, he talked about her having 8 radios playing when his show was on. Does that really help ratings? Thank you, Charlotte. You know, it's funny. I knew Curtis's Aunt Mary a little bit and his mother, and the aunts, and one, she really did do that. She really did have 5 or 6 radio ratings on at one time for thinking it would help the ratings. But no, that does not help the ratings. And the way that the ratings were measured when Aunt Mary was alive was different than the way they're measured now. The way they're measured now is they pick in every market in the country a theoretical group of people, say about 300 people. And those 300 people in the New York metro area represent every radio listener in the New York metro area. So it's immediately a flawed system, because if you get a sample size that doesn't like your particular radio station, you're up the creek without a paddle, right? Then they give all 300 of these people a portable people meter, or a PPM device for short. And that PPM device automatically picks up whatever you're listening to at any given time. So it's not really a perfect system, because let's say I've got one of these PPM devices on and I go into an elevator and that elevator is playing Light FM or Z100. That PPM will pick up that I'm listening to Z100 or Light FM, even though I'm not. I'm not listening to it. I'm not hearing the ads. I'm not hearing the content. That's one of the reasons when they switched the radio rating system from the diary method to PPM, you saw those stations that were usually background music, like Light FM, see a big boost in the ratings. And it didn't have to do with them suddenly getting all sorts of more new listeners. It's a very flawed system, and it's one that I think is becoming gradually antiquated. I might speak more on that a little bit later. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to Dimitri in Queens. Hello, Dimitri.
Hey, good morning, Frank. How's everything?
Good, thanks.
I wanted to ask you a question. Are you familiar with Sweet Hollow Road in Long Island?
I don't think so, no.
Yes, it's a road that connects Route 110 from Farmingdale to Huntington. It's very creepy, man. A lot of paranormal activity going on there. I wanted to know your opinion about that.
You know, I'm not familiar with it. My wife is from out that way. I will ask her about it. She's my go-to Long Island expert. So I don't know much about Long Island except what I've learned from her. So I will ask. I'm sure she's listening right now to the podcast. I will report back to you on Monday, which will have been the day after Halloween. So I still think it's apropos. 800-848-9222. Hey, we'll continue with your questions in a minute. But I will tell you that Legacy Precious Metals is a terrific company. And when it comes to precious metals, that is your best strategy to breaking the back of inflation. You see what's happening with the national debt. You see what's happening with the price of gas. You see what's happening with the price of groceries. You see what's happening with the price of everything. What does that uptick in prices mean for you? Well, it means that you're going to pay more for everything, and that if you are keeping your money in a traditional retirement account, you are seeing your money eaten away right under your nose. And that's bad news. Luckily for you, there's an answer around that. Precious metals. Gold, silver, and other precious metals provide a hedge against inflation. So if you've got your money in a traditional retirement account, think about rolling it into a gold or a silver IRA, and think about doing it with Legacy Precious Metals. Gold should be a part of every wise investor's portfolio. And Legacy is the company that you can trust because they give you unbiased information based on your individual situation. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. You can call 866-932-0635. That's 866-932-0635. Or you can visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. WABC.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Moreno. I was just reproaching Ryan, our telephone talent coordinator. This is a pretty lame lineup of questions so far. I was hoping for something a little bit more unusual or out of the box. A lot of, a lot of stale questions here. If you think you have something better, give us a call, 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's try with Debbie in Cranford, New Jersey. Hello, Debbie.
Hi there, Frank with a smiley voice.
Hi, Debbie. What's your question?
My question is, if
Debbie, do me a favor. Turn off your radio and call back, okay? I just can't. I cannot deal with somebody that's going to call a radio show and have their radio on. I know Debbie's a nice lady, and I think she, has some issues, clearly. But please, we don't ask a lot. The only thing we ask is that you turn your radio off. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let me see. Let's say hello to John in Plainview. John, what's your question?
Hey Frank. Great to be on your show. I love your show.
Thank you.
I was calling in about, I'm a big classic rock concert fan, and I've gone to a lot of benefit shows over the years. I see an article in the Newsday on Long Island on early October. It says that the UBS Arena that's going to be opening on the 20th with the Islanders against Calgary. Tim Lewinsky, the head owner of the Islanders, is saying that the building is slated to open on the 20th, but there is a schedule to open on November 19th with a private charity concert. And it says that really hasn't been out to the public. Now, I had went to see the Rolling Stones in Pittsburgh on the 4th. I'm a big Stones fan. They've been going 59 years. Next year, they're going to do their 60th anniversary tour. And according to this article, it says Lewinsky did not specify who was booked, but the last scheduled date on the Rolling Stones' current tour is on November 23rd. So they're hinting that it's going to be the Rolling Stones. Now, last week, Paul McCartney and Bruce Springsteen were at the Jacob Javits Center. They played for the Robin Hood Foundation, and they raised $77 million. Alicia Keys and the Jonas Brothers with it was in it. Paul McCartney didn't sing, but it was the 20th anniversary of the concert for 9/11, which I went to at Madison Square Garden 20 years ago. Now, tomorrow morning, this morning, tickets are going to go on sale for Bruce Springsteen. He's going to be playing at the winery in Manhattan on December 13th. He's going to be in a benefit show with Steve Earle, the Dukes, Rosie and Cash, and Willie Nile. That's going to go on sale in a little while. And I had gotten VIP seats for $300. Lucky I'm getting into that.
So, John, is there a question here? I'm sorry.
The question is how could I find out if who's going to be in this charity? Is it going to indeed be the Rolling Stones on the 19th, the day before the Islanders? Because it's in the Newsday. It says that they're hinting that it's going to be the Rolling Stones. They're my favorite group.
Here's what I would do if I were you, John. The short answer is I have no idea. But what I would do if I were you is reach out to UBS Arena and say that you're a freelance journalist and ask to speak with the media relations department and say you're writing an article about UBS Arena and the Rolling Stones tour and that you've heard there's a rumor that it will be the Rolling Stones performing there and ask if indeed that's the case. And then hypothetically, how are people going to be able to get tickets for that? That's what I would do. That's the best strategy. 800-848-9222. Bobby is on Long Island. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, Frank, how you doing, bro?
I'm hanging in there, man.
Oh, I know you always are. I'm a long-time listener. Let me ask you something. How are you doing? Have you been to Atlantic City?
I think I was there not last weekend, but the previous weekend. And that'll probably be my last trip for at least a couple of weeks. And, yeah, I was there 2 weeks ago.
Did you have a good time?
I had a blast. We did I don't want to rehash the whole show that we did when we came back, but yeah, we saw the comedian Vic DiBenedetto. I played a little bit, got to meet some new people, got to reconnect with some old people, got to meet a lot of the people that are running for office down there, had a nice cigar, had some cocktails, had a blast. Two good That's meals, good. Got to try good I... new two new good restaurants down there.
That's great. That's what I call for, to see how you're doing.
I appreciate it, Bobby. That's awfully nice of you. Thank you. 800-848-9222, answering your questions on any subject. That's 1-800-848-WABC. One open line if you want to jump on board, 800-848-9222. Let me say hello to, all right, I guess we'll try Frank in Queens. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Frank, just a little tidbit about wrestling. In the early 2000s, there was a nightclub on Queens Boulevard in Sunnyside called Sidetracks. A bunch of my friends and I used to be regulars, and one of the security guys was the Iron Sheik.
You're kidding me.
I am not.
That's pretty neat.
That was around the time he was going on to the Howard Stern.
Yeah. No, I love those appearances on Howard Stern.
Yeah, so the funny thing is, me being an 80s kid, you know, most of the people in the club were a little bit younger than us and didn't know who he was. So he loved the fact that we knew him. We'd buy him shots at the end of the night. And I'll say this, he was a big, big dude.
Oh, yeah. No, he still is. Absolutely. But real quick, we only have about 40 seconds. Did you have a specific question?
I did, but it's kind of stale. What I want to comment on, Frank, is I used to work in the ratings business, as you might remember, and you're partly correct. Within radio, they do use those personable people meters. But within TV now...
Well, the question was about radio, though, Frank.
Right. I just want to say, within TV, your viewing on your TV, whether you're a Nielsen home or not, is now counted because they're using the cable box.
Well, I appreciate you clarifying that, Frank. Thank you. Andrew Cuomo, arrested. We'll give you the latest. I'll tell you what it means, and we'll talk aliens.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. Andrew Cuomo has been charged over the alleged groping of a former aide yesterday. Disgraced ex-governor Andrew Cuomo charged Thursday with groping a former aide in Albany's executive mansion, a crime that could send him to jail for a year if he's convicted. A misdemeanor criminal complaint filed in Albany City Court alleges that Cuomo, quote, did intentionally and for no legitimate purpose forcibly place his hand under the blouse shirt of the victim and onto her intimate body part. Specifically, the victim's left breast for the purposes of degrading and satisfying his sexual desire. The incident allegedly took place on the afternoon of December 7th on the second floor of the executive mansion. The name of the alleged victim was redacted from the complaint, but a lawyer representing former Cuomo aide Brittany Commisso acknowledged that it's her. She's the one that did that television appearance. The complaint charges Cuomo with forcible touching, which carries a maximum sentence of 1 year in jail. The alleged evidence against him includes a text message from Cuomo's cell phone, state police aviation records for December 7th, and news reports of a press conference that day, state police BlackBerry PIN messages, swipe card records from the state capitol, and Commisso's testimony to the state attorney general's office. A summons has been issued directing the former governor to appear in Albany City Court on November 17th, according to the Albany County Sheriff's Office and the Albany County District Attorney's Office. Cuomo is expected to surrender to authorities sometime next week to be arrested and booked. Now, the Albany County DA, David Soros, opened a criminal investigation of Cuomo on August 3rd, shortly after Tish James detailed the alleged groping incident in a report that accused the then governor of sexually harassing several women, including this one, Ms. Commisso. 6 days later, Commisso, an administrative assistant in the governor's office, went public in that tearful interview on CBS This Morning, in which he said Cuomo, quote, put his hand up my blouse and cupped my breast over my bra. The governor needs to be held accountable. What he did to me was a crime. He broke the law. In a statement Thursday evening, the Albany County DA said, quote, like the rest of the public, we were surprised to learn today that a criminal complaint was filed in Albany City Court by the Albany County Sheriff's Office against Andrew Cuomo. The Office of Court Administration has since made that filing public. Our office will not be commenting further on this case. So during her CBS This Morning interview, Commisso said the alleged groping incident capped a series of incidents where Cuomo subjected her to unwanted touching, including hugs and other things. Now, first, for starters, as you know, I have been a Cuomo critic for the last Andrew Cuomo critic for the last 20 years thereabouts. And but I still always try to be fair. I'm thrilled that he's no longer governor. I think he was a horrible governor. I think even when he was on top of the world, I think he was incredibly overrated. I think the state is a worse place because of his leadership or lack thereof. But I think that I still always try to be fair to everybody. Now, this is a very bizarre criminal charge here. Very bizarre. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I don't pretend to be, but I think I know the law pretty well. And I spent a lot of time researching and talking with a lot of lawyers, a lot of judges, a lot of prosecutors, a lot of defense attorneys today. I cannot remember another instance in the history of the state of New York. I'm sure there is one, but I couldn't find one easily. I can't remember another instance of a sheriff actively circumventing a DA who is the prosecuting authority to file a criminal charge and then immediately leaking this charge to the media. Now, what makes this worse is the alleged victim here, Brittany Commisso, she was told that she was going to be notified if there was going to be any movement towards charges. And she was going to be given the opportunity with whether she wanted to press charges or not. And she was never told. So the sheriff's office not only circumvented the DA's office, who's going to be prosecuting the case, but they circumvented the alleged victim here. So this is very, very fishy. And I find it very suspect that this comes one day after the news is leaked that Letitia James, who orchestrated the ouster of Cuomo in the first place, is running for governor, his old job. So today, or I guess technically yesterday, one day later, it's leaked that charges are filed against Cuomo. It's very, very bizarre. The district attorney in Albany County is expressing surprise that the charges were filed. You have the attorney for this alleged groping victim saying they were unaware that a criminal complaint was filed. So this charge was apparently filed and leaked without even consulting the alleged victim for approval. So I could certainly see a scenario that concerns for Attorney General Tish James' political ambitions overrode concern for the alleged victims. And that would certainly be ironic that Tish James got up there, this big champion of women, talking about how Andrew Cuomo victimized everybody, how they're putting her political future above whatever's best for the victim here. The summons was issued without the consent of the victim. I have looked for the last 7 or 8 hours. I have not found another instance in New York State history where a sheriff filed a criminal charge without the consent of the DA's office and the victim. It is incredibly, incredibly bizarre, and it reeks of politics. One lawyer I spoke to yesterday called this a desperational misdemeanor, a prosecutor's nightmare, one that you would choose generally not to prosecute, because if Andrew Cuomo has a real criminal defense attorney, he beats this case. He does not need a white shoe political lawyer. He needs to think of himself as a criminal defendant. Now, as part of being a criminal defendant, he's going to get discovery in this case, which will help him tremendously. He can now investigate this accuser, Brittany Commisso, and any connection that she might have to Tish James. He can investigate the sheriff, who's an elected Democrat in Albany County, and any connection that he has to Tish James. He can investigate the accuser's mental health. He can investigate her motives. I mean, is there any reason she wanted to think about whether she wanted to go forward with prosecuting this crime? He can call witnesses to contradict her version of their relationship. In short, this is the best thing that could have happened to Andrew Cuomo. Only he, and believe me, he's capable of doing it because of the massive ego on this guy. Only he can mess this up by picking the wrong lawyers or by taking charge himself. That's always his undoing. He is a classic micromanager. Good managers find good people and then they delegate authority to those good people. Andrew Cuomo has never done that throughout his political career. He liked to control every aspect of everything to his detriment. If he's smart enough and humble enough not to do that here, then he's going to, pardon the double entendre, he's going to get off. He has to keep quiet until he testifies at the trial. But he should be pushing for the a speedy trial right away, from a political perspective and from a criminal perspective. If you want to comment, 800-848-9222, that's 1-800-848-WABC. But from the tone of the press reports that I've seen, this is really wild. It sounds like a detective contacted Cuomo's attorney to arrange this voluntary surrender, and the DA's office could have obtained an arrest warrant based on a criminal on a sworn affidavit of the victim or any other person with firsthand knowledge of the facts. But it appears there may not be anyone with firsthand knowledge of the attack or the incident. It looks like this could be a situation where the only people that know what happened here are Andrew Cuomo and Brittany Commisso. And even if Cuomo's convicted, given that he's never been convicted of a crime before, there's no way he's doing jail time on this. No way. No way he's going to jail on this. So it's interesting that we'll see what happens. But I don't see it. Now, the problem for Cuomo is this is not the only legal case he's facing. He could face prosecution in Westchester County and in some other places. In general, though, another lawyer told me yesterday, touching the breast of a girl who you think likes you when you're alone in what you perceive to be a romantic setting is a big no-no, but it's not jail time, ever. It's not. If he were to plead guilty, the right plea for him would be disorderly conduct or harassment as a violation, not a crime. If he pleads guilty to the misdemeanor, which he will not do, the punishment would be probation and probably some sort of a program for sensitivity in the workplace or something. Cuomo's problem will be that if he's charged on multiple cases, but with this case as it is now, this is in some respects the best case scenario for Andrew Cuomo. It may not seem like it because of the hyperbolic nature of the press reports today. But and look, nobody likes to have to be arrested. But if you're going to be arrested for a scandal that ends your political career, this is the kind of case you want to be arrested on. One where the Albany DA didn't know, one where the so-called victim didn't know, and one where it's two people who just have opposing views about what happened. 800-848-WABC if you want to comment. That's 1-800-848-9222. Neil is on Staten Island. Hello, Neil.
Yeah, Frank, this is more about Tish Jones. I mean, she seems to put her nose into everything. She puts it into Cuomo. She goes after the guy in Trump's organization for not declaring using the company car in his taxes. Let me ask you a serious question, Frank. Eric Adams says he sleeps in his office and he works in his office all the time. He's using his office as a resident. Why isn't she going after Eric Adams for the benefit of using a city building as a residence?
Well, because I it's a good question. The AG doesn't really have prosecutorial authority there, but the Brooklyn DA certainly could. I guess I'd have to look into that. But you could make that case. I guess
I would make the case, Frank. Have a great weekend.
All right, thank you. Catherine Trunk reaching out to me on Twitter at Frank Morano. She says, wording on a few of New York's ballot propositions are guilty of linguistic gymnastics. Yes, I've been saying this from the beginning. The ballot propositions should be written in plain English, but they're written in a way that you can't understand what they're talking about, especially Prop 1, which does five or six different things. So that's that. 800-848-WABC if you want to comment on the Cuomo situation, the legal implications of it, or the political implications of it. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-9222. I want to wish a happy birthday to our news anchor and engineer, Matt Sapienza. Hello there, Matt. Happy birthday.
Hi, Frank. Thank you very much.
Now, you have been telling people that October 29th was your birthday for the last 3 weeks. So that leads me to think you're a very big birthday guy.
You might be surprised to say I'm not that big of a birthday guy anymore, as much as I used to be.
Okay, all right. So now you're 23 years old as of today, right?
Yes.
All right, well, that's exciting. So what are your big birthday plans? Fill us in.
My plan, first of all, when I get home, I'm going straight to bed.
Mm.
Tonight I'm going to dinner with my family, and then tomorrow night I'm hanging with a couple friends from high school, and then next week, because they weren't able to make it this week, I'm going to be hanging out with a couple friends from college.
Oh, that's very nice. So you're just going out to dinner with your family Friday night, and then Saturday night you're going out with some friends.
Exactly.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Well, our gift, Molly and I, our collective gift is in the mail. It should be Should be here by Monday or Tuesday.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, right, right, Molly. We're working on that. It should be here any day. The mail is you know what the problem is? There's this supply chain problem, but we'll see where that goes. Now, it is interesting. You, Molly, and Ryan all decided, even though it's 2 days before Halloween, to wear your Halloween costume today. And no, Molly, come in here. I hate it when you go in there and then when he's talking on the phone, we can't hear what he's saying. Come in here. Pull up a microphone. So you guys chose to all wear your Halloween costume today rather than Monday, I guess, or Sunday, for instance. And all three of you wore the same thing. I had no idea what you were. I thought you were like prisoners or something because you're wearing, all three of you, sort of like a plain shirt, kind of a pale blue shirt, a button down in all three cases, and then that's pretty much the whole costume. So I thought you all were wearing a prison uniform.
He's leaving out gray streak.
Well, so that's how I ultimately found out what you were, because you pointed to your hair and all three of you have this gray streak in your hair. So all three of you are. That's what led me to the conclusion that you're me for Halloween.
Yes, we are. Yes. Frank Morano.
That's very nice.
That's correct.
That's a pretty lame costume, I must say. I'm flattered, but it's better than my Vinita Chin Gigante costume.
I'm much more comfortable than I am most nights.
Good. Yeah.
I might stick to this.
You should. Yeah, that'll be our team uniform.
Perfect.
Sounds good.
But that's very nice that you all three. When did the three of you coordinate on this?
Literally a month ago.
Yes. A
month ago. Wow.
This has been kept from you.
So you're wearing a red sweater turtleneck. I don't wear red.
I got cold.
Sweater turtleneck.
I don't know why you're wearing short sleeves.
I see.
Yeah. Although I walk in the office sometimes and the air conditioning is still on in the end of October.
Yes,
so.
That's for sure. It is.
It's all this. Mm-hmm. It's all the news. It gets people hot in the head.
That's right. That's right. So Matt, can we use the fact that it's your birthday today to end today's meeting like sooner rather than later? Can you act like you have big birthday plans that we all have to get to?
This is what I'm going to do when the show's over and we get into the meeting. I'm going to be like, listen. I have a brunch with my mom.
That's good. I like that.
At around like 8:30.
That's good.
I have to leave here around 45 minutes early so I can get there.
I like that. That's good. All right. That's good. That's good thinking. That's the costume rubbing off on you. That's
yeah.
800-848-WABC. Mark is in Newark. Hello, Mark.
Hi. Thank you. Well, I don't understand the justice system. Anybody can go to see police and say this guy touches me and he will go to jail?
That's why this is such a weak case. Now, they say that there's swipe records. So presumably there's a record of her state ID entering the building and being in the building at the same time the governor is. But so far from what we can tell, there's no other witness that backs up her version of events. So if you're Andrew Cuomo, what do you do? I don't know what actually happened, but if you're Cuomo, you say, well, we were kissing and any touching of her breast or her buttocks or whatever was completely consensual. She says it's not. He says it is. And then his attorneys and his investigators, and he's got $18 million that he can use to hire the best investigators in the world. They're going to find every lie this woman's told since she was in the eighth grade.
It looks like it's a lie.
Well,
I don't think it's true.
Yeah, the point is, I don't think it's going anywhere, Mark. Thank you for the call. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to talk with Bob Spearing. Bob Spearing is with an interesting group called the Mutual UFO Network, MUFON. They are the go-to people when it comes to UFOs. So we're going to ask him about the orb phenomenon, which is something that I've been hearing a lot about, and he apparently is something of an expert in. So we'll get into that and a bunch of other things. But for now, if you want to call in on the Cuomo situation, now's the time. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Meantime, something that you should be concerned about is inflation. I spent more money yesterday morning to fill my gas tank than I've spent in years, at least 12, 13 years. it cost me $51 to fill my gas tank this morning. And I drive a small little sedan. I don't drive a big truck. $51. It's crazy. Now, it's not just gas prices. The price of everything is going through the roof. Everything costs a fortune right now. And if you're keeping your money in a traditional retirement account, you are foolish. That's the only way to put it. If you have your money in an existing retirement account, it's being eaten away right under your nose by inflation, and you need to think about using precious metals to hedge against inflation. Roll it into a gold or a silver IRA, and if you do that, you should think about doing it with legacy precious metals. Gold should be a part of every investor's portfolio. Diversification is always important, but if you think inflation is going to be here for the time being, gold specifically is essential. Legacy is the company that you can trust because they give you unbiased information based on your individual situation. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. You can call 866-932-0635. Write this number down, please. 866-932-0635. You can also find them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com. Now we're going to talk aliens and the orb phenomenon with Robert Spearing in just a second. But first, let me squeeze in at least one or two quick calls here. Three open lines if you want to jump on board. 800-848-9222. Jacqueline's in Brooklyn. Hello, Jacqueline.
Hello, Frank. As far as this whole situation with Cuomo, I think they are not above eating their own young, so to speak. They pushed him out of office, which is what they wanted to do, so as to allow Miss Tish James to run for governor. And I think now what they're trying to do is any way possible that they can lock him up so that he can never run for any political office again. And if they really were smart and they really wanted to lock him up and end his political careers for the future, they would bring him up on criminally negligent homicide charges for killing all the people in the nursing homes.
Yeah, well, I mean, this doesn't end his political career because it's only a misdemeanor. And if he's convicted of a misdemeanor, he can still run for office again, no problem. There's no prohibition on running for office again after a misdemeanor conviction. It would only be the case if it was a felony conviction. An email here asks, if Cuomo can use that particular defense, he said, she said, wouldn't that be the case for most sexual assaults? How would there be witnesses for most of these situations? Well, for starters, that's why usually DNA is a pretty important part of these cases. DNA is important. Fingerprints are important. Any sort of forensic evidence, none of that is present here. You do see that situation when it's a consensual sexual, when it's a sexual assault situation that arises as a result of a relationship. If a boyfriend rapes a girlfriend, and we have seen boyfriends charged for that before, that is the defense that they generally use. So it often comes down to, are there other witnesses? No. Is there any other documentary evidence? No. Is there any physical evidence? No. So then it goes to the credibility of the accuser and the defendant. So then you look at the defendant. Does this defendant have a history of groping women? Not that he's been convicted of. I mean, they're going to try. They say they're entering the attorney general's report as evidence, which leads you to think that the sheriff had that in mind, that they're going to say, all right, everybody knows this guy is a creep. We're going to use that as evidence. But he's never been convicted of anything having to do with sexual assault or sexual harassment or misdemeanor touching or anything, forcible touching, never been convicted of anything. So then you look at the accuser, and Cuomo's team is going to dig into everything she's ever done in her whole life. If she's ever accused anyone else of groping, if she's ever told a lie about something, if she's ever shown a desire for publicity, they are going to turn this into her trial. And that's what a lot of good defense attorneys do. They are going to cross-examine her to the point where she may not, she won't even know her own name. I'm being partially facetious, but it's going to be this is a slam dunk for Cuomo. This case is going nowhere. Prosecutors I know would refer to this case as a dog because it's full of fleas. Ted is in Union, New Jersey. Hello, Ted.
Hey, how are you? You're calling about the Cuomo thing. Do you really think, in your opinion, that he really wants to run for office again? I know he has a huge ego, but I think he wants to bury his head in the sand and try to get a job in the private sector and make it go away a little bit. I don't think he's going to expose himself because he's got too many things that they could throw darts at.
The answer to your question, Ted, I think not only do I think your question was, do I think he really wants to run for office again? Not only do I think he really wants to run for office again, I think that's all he thinks about. I think this guy is obsessed. From the time that he gets up in the morning to the time that he goes to bed at night, he is obsessing about a political comeback. This guy, since he's 19 years old, has wanted to be president. And if there's one thing that he enjoys more than political power, and this came out in my interview with Hank Morris yesterday, if there's one thing that he enjoys more than political power, it's vindication and bullying the people that he perceives to be his enemies. So I think you said he has a big ego. He has the largest ego I've ever seen in politics. And politics is filled with people with big egos. Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, you name it. Most people in politics have a big ego. Anthony Weiner. There is nobody that has an ego like Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I just feel that, you know, you get embarrassed like he is. Listen, he's going to have, you know, still litigation going on with other people that are going to come about and try, you know.
Right. Well, you're right about that. That is the trouble for him, is if he has to fight this similar case in Westchester and in New York County and in elsewhere, if he has to fight five misdemeanor trials, then that takes a toll on your money. That also is very physically and mentally taxing. So that will be, and then you have to go five for five. You need five acquittals if you're going to, avoid a serious problem there. Ted, thanks for the call. 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-WABC. Paul is in the Boogie Down Bronx. Hello.
Yeah, Frank, listen, this Cuomo kills thousands of people. A handful of political whores get buyer's remorse. All successful politicians are narcissists, but some like Cuomo and your friend Jeanine Pirro crossed the line to sociopathic. Read the Gene Machine.
At TwistedJustice at CNN.org. Oh, you're like a broken record. You're so annoying. 800-848-9222. Dara is in Saratoga. Hello, Dara.
Hi, Frank. I just had to spill some tea here. And to avoid the double entendres, we cannot. Because this against Cuomo is what they call a cheap pinch. If anyone really wants some entertainment, they should look up circa 2011, how the Albany DA met his current wife through a well-documented scandalous office affair. At the time, he almost lost his position because of it. So he is the last person that should be handling any kind of misdemeanor charge in this way. And not to demean any victim, but come on. Do we really think that New York has nothing better to do than to deal in these kinds of things? I mean, this whole thing, it's just how they do up here. If it wasn't so entertaining, it would just anger people.
I agree with you, Dara. And again, I'm a Cuomo critic, but this case is absurd. This case is going nowhere fast. 800-848-WABC. Keith is on the Upper West Side. Hello, Keith.
Hey, great to talk to you again, Frank. And I'm not making excuses for Andrew, but I stood in line decades ago as an impressionable New York City Democrat to get Mario Cuomo's book signed.
Which book? Which one?
His autobiography.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I can't remember the name of it. Very pompous photograph on the cover. I told him one of the copies was for my conservative father, and he wrote, "Dear Arthur, I hope you can enjoy some of these musings." Then about a decade or two later, I was really into wine, and I worked part-time on First Avenue and 54th Street wine shop. around the corner from Sutton Place. And he, Mario, would come in every month or two to order a case of Coppola's Claret, red, you know, red blend wine. And he just exuded arrogance. He's a very smart guy. So
brilliant guy and a brilliant orator. Absolutely.
Really brilliant, 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 brilliant. But really, he knew it. And he exuded this arrogance. So I got to, you know, I have to give a little, you know, I mean, Andrew did his campaigns. He was a chip off the old box. He just became like his.
Well, you know, again, I don't know that Mario was ever accused of groping a woman, honestly, Keith. So I'm not sure that I agree with your characterization there. And we could do a whole show just comparing the similarities and differences of Mario and Andrew. It's a fascinating books could be written about this. And some of them have. But the full story of the Mario and Andrew relationship is something that is, I believe, completely misunderstood by the public at large. Hey, let's talk about something interesting. Aliens and the orb phenomenon. We're going to get into it with Robert Spearing from MUFON straight ahead. This is The Other Side of Midnight. I am looking forward to this.
77 WABC, where the action is.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC. The Other Side of Midnight presents The Midnight Files.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. This magical journey will take us on a ride, filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it till tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you? Midnight in the desert, and we're listening.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Moreno. This is a show where we like to explore the unexplained, the mysterious, the issues that there are lingering questions about and that there are mysteries surrounding. I don't think there has been an issue, especially over the last 5 years, as the more information has become public about this, it has only stoked the curiosity flames of the American public. I don't think there's an issue that is more worthy of explanation out there than, one, is there extraterrestrial life? And two, have extraterrestrials visited this planet? Now, the thing that's interesting is because over the last 4 or 5 years, the military has gone from taking the public posture of, oh, no, 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 no. Those things that you see, those objects that you see in the night sky, that's nothing. That's a weather balloon. That's swamp gas. That doesn't exist. That's a figment of your imagination. Now, instead of taking that tact, the military takes the tact of, we don't know what they are, which, if that's true, is certainly a much more responsible approach. Very, very pleased to be joined by a gentleman who is a real expert in this and has been investigating it for a long time. Robert Spearing, he's the Director of Investigations International for the Mutual UFO Network, better known in the UFO community as MUFON. Robert, thanks so much for joining me on the radio.
Thank you, Frank, so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Robert, what sparked your interest in this stuff initially?
Oh, geez, it goes way back. Back in a blackout of November 9th, 1965, I was about 6 years old. And when the lights went out, we were sitting in the dark using my baptism candles. And the next morning, my uncle came over and said, you know, they saw UFOs over the Clayton State.
You know, Bob, we're having a tough time hearing you, so we're going to try and reconnect with you. Maybe we can get you either on a better phone line or in an area where where we can hear you. So we're going to try and reconnect with you in just a second. But we're talking with Robert Spearing. He's with MUFON. You can check them out at MUFON.com. That's MUFON.com. And there's a ton of interesting stuff in there. And I get a lot of the material that I talk about on this show from the Mutual UFO Network. They have a terrific Facebook page as well. You can find them on Facebook at Mutual UFO Network. It's a Mutual UFO Network. All sorts of things regarding what the government is saying about UFOs, all sorts of things about what people and individuals have seen in the UFO realm. So we're going to reconnect with Robert Spearing. You know, I was listening to one of the things that I do for fun is I listen to old radio shows. Like, for instance, Sunday is Halloween. And if you really want to give yourself a treat on Halloween, go on the YouTube and listen to Gene Shepard tell the story of Halloween. It is spoken word radio at its finest. Now, sometimes I'll get emails, text messages, or even phone calls of people who say, oh, Frank, you tell a story really well on the radio. I love how you, you know, tell theatrical aspects of your personal life and tell those, you know, personal stories on the radio. If you listen to Gene Shepard and tell and this story of Halloween, I listen to it and I think I have no business even being on the radio because the guy is such an incredible master, and the way he weaves a story and crafts a story and layers a story is so much better than, forget about anything I'm doing, much better than anything anybody else on the radio these days is doing. So one of the things that I like to do is listen to old radio shows. So I happen to be listening to an old radio show that I transferred from cassette from, I don't know, 1994 or so. And it was an old Jay Diamond show. Jay Diamond, if you've never heard him, there's not a lot of audio of him on YouTube, but he was amazing. And he's still amazing. He's still alive, still lives in Manhattan. He's still, you know, a terrific communicator and talk talent. And I was listening to this call from 1994. And he's talking with a caller who gets their cell phone signal screwed up. And he said, you know, I'm concerned that these mobile phones, he didn't call them mobile, he called them a cell phone. These cell phones could be the death of talk radio. And I kind of feel the same way. Now that fewer and fewer people have landlines and more people, even guests, are relying on these mobile phones, it becomes such a, such a downer because it's so difficult to hear things on these mobile phones. Whenever somebody calls me from a mobile phone, I always say the same thing. I'll call you back from my landline. All right. I believe we have reconnected with Robert Spearing from the Mutual UFO Network. Hello, Robert.
Hi. Can you hear me now?
Not too well, honestly, Robert. No, it sounds like you might be on a speakerphone or something.
Yeah, I'm on Skype with using my camera.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do the best we can, Robert. So tell me, what sparked your interest in this stuff? You were talking about a blackout.
Back in November 1965, the great Eastern blackout in the United States. I was about six. The power lights went out, and we were using my baptism candles to see. The next morning, my uncle came over and said, you know, they saw UFOs over the Clay Power Station at Niagara Falls last night, right before the blackout. And I was hooked from that point on. He used to buy me books, my uncle, UFOs, Flying Saucers, Serious Business by Frank Edwards, Chariots of the Gods by Eric Von Daniken, and I was hooked.
All right. So now MUFON, it's a great organization. People can read more about it and learn more about it at MUFON.com. Explain to folks what it is. What exactly is the Mutual UFO Network?
It's been around since 1969. Our slogan is doing the Air Force's business since 1969 when Project Blue Book ended. We started out in the Midwest. We're all over the world now, and unlike other UFO organizations throughout history, we actually investigate UFOs. Not only can you be a member, but if you take a short course, we can make you a field investigator. Most people that are investigators come from different forensic backgrounds. There's no university to go study to become an investigator. So we get a lot of police, a lot of pilots, some FBI agents, people who are interested in UFOs that have some sort of investigative background. I did some investigative work for a railroad for 34 years, and that's pretty much my background in it. I'm also a photo analyst. I went to Fordham University, studied photography, journalism.
All right, so you're a credible guy. You're not exactly a drunken crackpot that hallucinates all the time.
No, not at all.
All right, so you're the director of Investigations International, and that's interesting that anybody can join MUFON and with some training maybe become an investigator themselves. So if that's of interest to our listeners, you can go to MUFON.com. You're the director of Investigations International. Let me ask you, and I'm sorry I didn't have an opportunity to pull the audio, but let me ask you about some recent comments made by the head of NASA, Bill Nelson, at the University of Virginia, just about 10 days ago. Larry Sabato, who's probably one of the best known political science scholars in the whole country, he hosted the former senator and the current NASA administrator, Bill Nelson. And Bill Nelson raised quite a few eyebrows with some comments that he made pertaining to possible life outside of Earth. What exactly did Bill Nelson say?
Well, he basically said three things that were of interest. One, he admitted that NASA really is looking for life. They've stonewalled and danced around the subject for decades, especially after the Viking landers on Mars, which looked for chemical signatures for life. But he also said that he had spoken with some of the pilots who had seen the Tic Tac UFOs back in 2004. Colonel Fravor, the jet pilot that chased one. And that was interesting in itself because it showed that NASA had more than a marginal interest in speaking with pilots who had saw UFOs. And perhaps the most startling thing he said echoed something that Marco Rubio said back in June when the original congressional report was released, that he really hoped it might be aliens, because if it's not, it means that it's the Chinese or the Russians and that they would have leapt far ahead of us technologically.
Well, that's a great point that you, Senator Rubio, and Bill Nelson all brought up. So Nelson said, I've talked to these pilots and they saw something and their radar's locked onto it and they don't know what it is and we don't know what it is. We hope it's not an adversary here on Earth that has that kind of technology. I certainly hope so, too, as an American. Now, we saw the news last week about this hypersonic missile from China. Based on your research, Robert, and what you're seeing, do you think that what was in that Tic Tac video and some other similar videos that have, and we know there have been at least 144 recent incidents documented by the military, do you think this could be the work of Russia or China or a hostile foreign power of some sort?
Well, the interesting thing about the 144 incidents in the congressional report in June is that they couldn't identify 143 out of 144. The 144th was a weather balloon. That's a startling departure from what the American government has been telling us since the 1950s when they were saying it was just weather balloons. The unfortunate thing about the Tic Tacs is that if you really are knowledgeable about all of the UFO sightings through history, these hypersonic type aircraft have been around for decades, long before China, long before the United States or Russia could possibly be flying aircraft through our atmosphere at 8,000 to 12,000 miles per hour.
Interesting.
I don't think it's the Chinese.
So you don't think it's the Chinese. And even what we know about their technology, this hypersonic missile, for them to have aircraft or drones that moved the way that Tic Tac video showed movement would be light years ahead of anything else that we know about them. Now, there seems to be, and if people are just tuning in, We're talking with Robert Spearing. He's director of Investigations International for the Mutual UFO Network. There seems to be a split in the UFO community and the public at large about the government's report that you mentioned, the one they released in June. There seem to be some people that believe the government's telling the truth and other people that believe the government knows a whole lot more and just aren't telling us. What do you believe with respect to what the government said in that report?
There's an opinion that the United States government is actually split on the subject and that there are elements within the United States government that want to acknowledge that there's something going on, and there's other elements that are trying to suppress it. Some say it's because it might be a Christian attitude, but Luis Elizondo, who has been at the forefront of bringing this out, feels himself that he is being suppressed by the United States government by some elements within it, even though he actually worked for them investigating this. So it seems to be a split. As far as the public goes, I believe the public feels that we just got a few breadcrumbs thrown to us and that the United States report on UFOs to the Congress is far more in depth. But those details of those 144 cases specifically are being withheld from the public.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. We're talking with Robert Spearing. Now, Robert, you are an expert in something that's come to be called the orb phenomenon. For those that don't know, what exactly is the orb phenomenon?
Well, nobody's quite sure. These seemingly balls of plasma have been seen in the atmosphere since ancient Egypt. Sometimes they have apparently interfered in battles where armies were fighting throughout history. In World War II, they were known as the Foo Fighters. They seem to be, in some cases, simple ball lightning, but in many other cases, and I have 400 years of newspaper articles where orbs have interacted with people, chasing them, running away from them, avoiding being trapped by people who were chasing them. So they seem to have at least a rudimentary intelligence. And in some cases, we believe that they're not actually balls of plasma, but there might actually be a craft hidden within the balls of plasma, especially in a case that happened last year over Mexico with a FedEx pilot.
How? Well, I'm going to ask you about that in a minute, but how common are these orbs and what looks like balls of energy, the what's described as orbs, as compared to conventional UFOs or UAPs, the kind of good old-fashioned flying saucers?
Well, I'll tell you that since the 1940s, when people first became aware of flying saucers, especially the disc type with the cupola on top that may contain a UFO nut inside piloting it, they have been on a steady decline ever since. Triangles, which are very interesting objects, have been rather steady since the 1980s, but by far the most common type of UFO today would be what we call nocturnal lights. As a matter of fact, the number of reports is growing, and the number of people capturing these orbs on film is increasing. Our database is growing exponentially with orb report videos.
Wow, that's really wild. Now, you referenced that that FedEx situation. I know the Daily Mail has reported on this in March of 2020. What happened? What did this particular FedEx driver see? This FedEx pilot, I should say.
It was actually a MUFON case. It came to me originally, and the pilot, Eric Delgado, turned out to be a really great witness. They were flying from Mexico to Tennessee carrying auto parts from a Ford auto plant in Mexico City last March. And at about 33,000 feet, traveling at 500 miles per hour towards Tennessee, but still over Mexico, this plane encountered an orb that came down from the left side on the co-pilot's side. It was yellowish. They thought it was a falling star at first, and then it proceeded to accompany them for 33 minutes. And what's most unusual about the entire encounter is that at exactly Reynosa, Mexico, just across the border from Texas, the object turned and went off to the west. So why would an electrical phenomenon that normally would strike a plane or the plane's lightning rod accompany a plane 33 miles and then refuse to cross over the border into the United States instead shooting away?
Wow. So what's the status of that investigation, the investigation into that case right now?
Well, the video has gone viral. The leading theory is that it was a craft cloaked in a plasma envelope. Basically, the idea is that the United States military right now is testing ways to shoot a plasma screen in front of its fighter jets, because a ground radar looking for that plane, when it hits the plasma wall, plasma absorbs radar, thus making the fighter jet invisible. We believe that possibly when this object was over Mexico, it was absorbing radar signals and tracking the FedEx plane for a reason. But it didn't go over into the United States, so we assume that maybe it wasn't as technologically as advanced as we'd like to think, and that maybe the United States radar systems and military bases could have picked it up. The question was, what was interesting in the FedEx plane that would have attracted such an object?
It's a fascinating case, and I've seen the video. It is fascinating. And in fact, I'm going to link to it if people haven't seen it on my Facebook page right now, facebook.com/MoranoFan. Robert, I have to go, but I hope you'll come back. And real quick, if you can, what is the next step in the UFO disclosure movement? There were a lot of hopes pinned on this this government report. Where do we go from here? Those of us that want to learn more about what has already taken place on Earth, where do we go from here?
Well, there's a lot of different websites you can go to of investigative bureaus. MUFON is, of course, the largest. NICAP, the original 1950s group, has a great website, NICAP. CUFO, C-U-F-O-S, has a very large library of UFO documents and history. And what we're all waiting for is that follow-up congressional report that's overdue now, that was promised to the American people. So it's a wait-and-see game at this point.
Pretty interesting. Thank you very much for the time, Robert. I want to encourage everybody to go to MUFON.com, MUFON.com. You want to comment, 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Straight ahead. City Woman, this is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Moreno. We'll take your calls in just a minute, and we have denunciations coming your way. It's Friday morning. We got denunciations. Got a lot of other fun things as well. You want to comment on anything we've done thus far, 800-848-WABC. You can email me as well, frank.morano@wabcradio.com. That's frank.morano@wabcradio.com. Until next hour, in the words of the great Barry Farber, keep asking questions.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
And this is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. We will take your calls momentarily at 800-848-9222. But for now, it is the moment you've all been waiting for, the moment you've been waiting all week for the moment me to call out people that have done or entities that have done something bad or untowards, it is time for
The Other Side of Midnight presents Denunciation.
Let me begin first by denouncing Joseph Baselli. You know, I have to admit, when I first saw this headline, I thought it was my friend Joseph Borelli, but it has nothing to do with Joseph Borelli. It's Joseph Baselli. The former bursar at the City College of New York stole $500,000 in student funds, which he then blew on exotic trips and designer goods. So he pocketed more than 900 checks issued to hundreds of students between August of 2012 and November of 2017. Now, most of those checks range from $4 to $3,318. They were intended to fund stipends and scholarships. Other funds were owed to college kids who had prepaid tuition or fees prior to the school receiving a loan or other payment. But instead of handing the checks to the students in need, this crook used them to... He just kept them. He deposited the funds into his own account via ATM and spent the money on flights to Milan, San Francisco, Jacksonville, paid for hotels in Aruba and Italy, bought goods from Gucci. And I don't know how he thought he was going to get away with it. I mean, he did get away with it for a while. Took them 9 years to catch up to him. So maybe he's smarter than we think. Just maybe. Now, I want to give a denunciation to Charter Spectrum. Now, this is really embarrassing, and I feel like this happens to me just about every week. So, at some point in the last 6 days, Charter Spectrum, the cable provider, did something that caused me to want to denounce them. And I saw a headline in the paper or in the news or on Twitter or somewhere that I said, what? I can't believe they're doing that. I'm going to write this down that I'm denouncing them, and I'm going to denounce them for it. Lo and behold, yesterday when I was preparing to denounce people, I couldn't find what they did that I was so upset about. So and perhaps this is an indication of early onset Alzheimer's or something, but I don't know why I am denouncing Charter, but I felt strongly enough to write it down. So I'm guessing that Charter did something that I was quite unhappy with. So Charter, I'm not sure why, but I do denounce you. I also want to denounce the Florida Surgeon General, Joseph Lodapo. Now, this is the Surgeon General in Florida. And he met with a state senator from Broward County who is currently a cancer patient. She's immunocompromised. And he met with her without a mask. Okay, I don't wear a mask when I meet with people either. And this state senator politely asked and respectfully, will you please wear a mask? Now, he refused to do so. Now, what kind of a jerk do you have to be if you're meeting with someone who has cancer, who's immunocompromised, and is clearly a little sensitive about the whole COVID issue, and she asks you to wear a mask and you refuse? Okay, that's one thing. I don't like wearing masks. I don't wear masks generally, unless it's a circumstance where I absolutely have to. But there comes a point where you're just rude. Then Lodapo goes all over town bragging about how he refused to wear a mask. Now, I mean, you're going to, at the very least, I don't think this state senator was going to catch COVID from the Surgeon General, but why would you be bragging about going out of your way to be rude and to make the person that you're meeting with feel uncomfortable? I mean, this is why society is in the place that it's in, because folks are unable to extend just common, regular human decency to other people. I'm not a mask wearer, but if I'm meeting with someone for a business purpose and they say you have to wear a mask, or even that I'd like you to wear a mask, I'll put a mask on. And then I certainly wouldn't refuse and then go all over town bragging about it. I mean, really. I want to denounce the Oklahoma Department of Corrections. They have now botched three straight executions. Maybe it's about time Oklahoma reconsider executing people. They administered the death penalty on Thursday on a man who convulsed and vomited as he was executed on the gurney. And again, this is the third straight botched execution that we have seen the Oklahoma Department of Corrections engage in since they brought back the death penalty. I think maybe they should take a break. That's my thinking. And it kills me to do it because she's such a valuable member of our team and such a nice person. But I have to denounce our associate producer, Molly Fichter, because, and again, like a lot of denunciations, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So today is pizza day, as every Friday is, and Molly was kind enough to go downstairs and retrieve the pizza. However, when she placed the pizza in the common area in the kitchen, she chose to keep the pizza box lids up, allowing all of the heat from the two main pizzas to escape. Now, again, I know the road to hell is paved with good intentions. She probably wanted people to see what kind of pizzas they were, but the effect was still the same. Everybody other than the people who got it right when she opened the box had to deal with cold pizza. Unless that was somebody else here. Was that somebody else? You going to blame that on Alex?
I don't know. That might have been Rich, but I don't know. I'm going to blame somebody
else. All
right,
we have an update on this charter situation. Yes, this is it. How did you find this? This is great. And why did it take you 40 seconds and I couldn't find this at all today? All right, this is great. This is why I'm denouncing charter. All right, I'm withdrawing my denunciation of Molly because that's a job well done. Remove that from the record books. I don't want this denunciation reflected on her permanent record. Okay, this is why I'm denouncing Charter Communications. These jerks have banned Edie Falco's anti-horse carriage campaign ad. Now, the animal rights group NYC Class is also blasting Charter Communications for pulling this provocative TV ad featuring Sopranos star Edie Falco that urges the city council to ban the abusive horse carriage industry. And remind me later, I got to tell Curtis about this. He'll want to make this an issue. In a letter threatening legal action, they say they were blindsided when Charter rescinded its approval of the ad, which is narrated by Edie Falco. Now, I love Edie Falco. She's an Emmy Award-winning actress. And this is a serious issue. Now, whether you want to ban the horses or not, this is a legitimate issue. And this group has every right to run ads advocating for their point of view, especially with Edie Falco. I love Edie Falco. I want to see more commercials with Edie Falco. That's a commercial I'd actually pay attention to. And for Charter to say, oh, no, we're no longer approving this ad, which we've already told you we're approving, they're a bunch of hypocrites and a bunch of creeps. So as far as I'm concerned, Charter Communications, I do denounce you. I must also denounce Sally McAuliffe, the daughter of former Virginia governor and current Virginia gubernatorial candidate Terry McAuliffe. She's only 21 years old, but she's an adult. She's old enough to drink. And she, instead of going out there campaigning for her dad, politely asking people to vote for her dad, she took a photo, and it was posted to Instagram, where she chose to take a photo in front of a Republican office with signs for her father's opponent, Glenn Youngkin. And she took a photo next to his sign holding up the middle finger. Now, what kind of an immature, petty, little, juvenile delinquent in the making do you have to be to take a photo with your political opponent and and lift the middle finger. How about a little civility? How about saying, vote for my father because he's got a better plan than Glenn Youngkin? How about vote for my father because he's going to lower the cost of living or make it or shorten commute times or make the air cleaner or anything? No, let me be a petty little brat and lift up the middle finger to my dad's opponent. This is absurd. There's far too much of this in politics. And for people to start out, usually when you're 20, you're idealistic. You think with your heart and you really believe in things. You believe, you appeal to people's better angels. You're not so cynical and jaded that you're going to be trying to destroy your opponent and to belittle the supporters of that opponent. But apparently Sally McAuliffe never got the memo. In my entire life, do you know how many people I have given the middle finger to? Zero. Do you know how many photographs there are of me giving the middle finger in my entire life? Zero. Now, I'm not sitting here as some paragon of virtue. I am, I'm a guy. Most of my friends are people with criminal records. Most of the hours that I'm not on the radio, I'm pretty drunk. So I'm not sitting here saying, oh, look at me, I'm so prim and proper. I am the opposite of prim and proper. My point is, even me, Mr. Play By Your Own Rules, has never, ever given the middle finger to anyone, let alone when I was 21, to do it to a political adversary. This girl, this woman, makes me absolutely sick. Absolutely sick. And Sally McAuliffe, I do denounce you, along with anyone else that would do this, engage in this kind of behavior, and especially a politician's daughter. Terry McAuliffe ought to teach his daughter some manners. And he ought to teach her that in the political arena, you shouldn't be trying to destroy your opponent. You shouldn't be trying to show the middle finger. You debate your opponent. I also want to denounce young adults, and I'm talking especially to middle school students and young high school students that go trick-or-treating without a costume. I don't know who these losers think they are, but for you to come to my house without a costume, asking for candy, you're not trick-or-treating. You're now begging for food, okay? And if you show up without something that looks like a costume, I'm not giving you any candy. And I don't know how their parents let them get away with this. First of all, the people that do this, and again, I'm talking to you 7th and 8th graders, you 9th graders out there. The people that do this are already a little old for trick-or-treating. But whatever, sometimes, you know, these 9th grade girls think it's cute to go out and act like a 10-year-old. Fine, put on a costume. Otherwise, you're not getting any candy. Those of you that would go trick-or-treating without a costume, I do denounce you. And I want to denounce PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And look, I'm an animal rights lover. But every once in a while, they just do something so stupid that it makes me say, I wish these guys were on their side, somebody else's side. Now, this group, PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, is actually making a sincere effort to get Major League Baseball to change the name bullpen. Bullpen, which refers to the holding area where terrified bulls are kept before slaughter. They want PETA wants baseball to change it to the arm barn. Give me a break. Is there any bull anywhere in the world that is being slaughtered because a pitcher is warming up in the bullpen? No. And for PETA to focus on this, it makes it look like all they do is just silliness. And it diminishes the credibility of their group, including some very serious initiatives that they're responsible for. So PETA, I do denounce you. Penultimately, I want to denounce Laredo, Texas. Laredo, Texas is the worst coffee city in the country. Rent.com looked at the 150 most populated cities in America and the number of coffee-related business establishments, including things like coffee shops, mobile coffee businesses, and roasters. They then ranked each city by the number of local non-chain businesses per square mile of land area and the percentage of all coffee businesses in the city that are not chains. And out of all 150 cities, Laredo, Texas, had the worst coffee record in the country. It will not surprise you that the best coffee city in America was Seattle. And lastly, I want to denounce the leaders of the coup in Sudan. These people are bloodthirsty animals. They do not respect democracy. They also don't respect the rights of the people that they are currently oppressing. And yet, in spite of the fact that there's now been international denunciation and international outrage for what the Sudanese army is doing, their response, the Sudan's army's response, is to arrest more people who say, wait a minute, we don't like coups. We like democracy. Or then, when arrests weren't enough, they shut down the internet. When that wasn't enough, they shut down all sorts of other ways of telecommunications. These guys are bad news, and I hope Sudan is able to figure out something soon, because these Sudanese revolutionaries are not only bad guys, but they've now just been denounced. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. If you want to comment on any of today's denunciations or anything that that we've done previously, that's 1-800-848-WABC. In the meantime, I want to talk to you a little bit about Life Change Tea. You've heard these commercials and might be asking yourself, well, what the heck is Life Change Tea from GetTheTea.com? What makes it so great? Well, I'm here to tell you. Life Change Tea is a gentle daily cleanse that tastes great. It cleanses you from the inside out. It's great. It gives you a ton of energy without caffeine. And it's something that you should really make a part of your traditional nutritional diet. You drink 2 8-ounce glasses every day, and it will clear you up. It cleanses you from the inside out, which is why they call it the tea that makes you go. It certainly does make you go. And even if you don't have a problem going to the bathroom, which this will help with, it'll give you a ton of energy. And if you feel your energy levels are already adequate, it will give you it'll clear out a lot of the garbage that's in your system. Whether it's food, whether it's environmental factors or something else, there's all sorts of crap that we're putting in our system on a daily basis, and this is one product that filters a lot of that out of your system. So check it out. Online, go to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. And if you use the promo code Frank, you'll get to enjoy free shipping anywhere in these United States. It's GetTheTea.com. Promo code Frank. A lot of you may still be looking for a birthday gift for Matt Sapienza. If that's the case, this would make a great birthday gift. Think about going to GetTheTea.com. Use the promo code Frank. You could send it here to the radio station or wherever else Matt Sapienza hangs out. It's a phenomenal gift. If you haven't tried it yourself, you're going to love it. GetTheTea.com, promo code Frank. If you use the promo code Frank, you will get to enjoy free shipping anywhere in these United States. And they have a ton of other great products that you'll also be able to try if you want to. GetTheTea.com, promo code Frank.
77 WABC, all American.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Rumors spreading around, tonight takes its time. Might just check outside the games. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that home out on the range. They got a lot of nice girls.
ZZ Top here on the other side of midnight. This is Frank Morano. So apparently tomorrow was the day that we were told these vaccination mandates would be implemented for New York City workers. It's already resulted in a garbage slowdown here in New York City. Now, this idea of a vaccination mandate for city workers is ludicrous. The fact that we're going to even think about laying off cops and firefighters I mean, it's nuts. It's absolutely insane. I did get an SMS text message from a friend of mine who's a police officer last night around 11:45. He sent me a photo. Updated COVID-19 vaccine mandate information. Reporting requirements. All members are required to continue reporting to work after 1700 hours on October 29th. Keyword here, regardless of vaccination status, until explicitly directed by a supervisor not to report. I said, wow. So it sounds to me like the city is backing down, because if they're telling these cops that you have to report to work after 5 p.m. on October 29th, irrespective of vaccination status, sounds to me that they're telling cops they still have to come to work. So apparently the latest development is that they have at least 6,500 and counting religious exemptions, and allegedly they're only going to accept about 1% of them. It's guaranteed at this point, though, according to my police officer friend, that on Monday, no matter what happens, nobody will be sent home regardless of vaccination status. So the city hasn't backed down, but the department is saying to come in on Monday regardless of status. So aside from the lack of wisdom in a vaccination mandate, the rollout of this mandate has been atrocious. It's been atrocious. Now, if they were smart, they would do what they were doing, which is they say, all right, you don't want to get vaccinated? Show a negative test every week. Or show a positive antibody test. That's what they're doing in Italy and a lot of European countries. Why would the mayor do this? I mean, I can't imagine he wants 30, 40% of the city's workforce, including cops and firefighters, to walk off the job. I know some of you think that he does. I don't think that's the case. 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-9222. Ted is in Ottawa. Hello, Ted.
Hi, Frank. I can't believe the bullpen story.
It's nuts, isn't it?
But they don't say a damn thing about Fauci torturing beagles.
Well, that's not true. They took out full-page ads denouncing Fauci and urging Biden not to appoint another dinosaur like Fauci to head the NIH. They were very vocal against Fauci.
Oh, they were. Well, at least they stand by that. But this bullpen, how does that hurt anybody?
It doesn't. It's so stupid. That's the thing. It's such a distraction from important work that nobody would take them serious. Nobody will take them seriously on anything going forward now.
No, not after that. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I never took them seriously anyway. They're all loons.
Well, thank you, Ted. I mean, that's my problem with this initiative, is that it's going to lead people to think they are all loons. And maybe with good reason. 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Valentine in Pine Beach, New Jersey. Hello, Valentine.
Good morning, Frank. Hey, great show. I love listening to you every morning.
Thank you.
But on your denunciations today of the 7th, 8th, and 9th graders, it's not that I don't agree with your denunciation, but no 7th, 8th, or 9th grader would hear you at 3:18 in the morning.
You know what, Valentine, I don't think you're right. I mean, I know there's a lot more entertainment options now as opposed to when I was in middle school. But when I was in middle school and high school, I was listening to the radio at this time. So, you know, in fact, Valentine, and I appreciate you saying that, if you're a 7th, 8th grader, 9th grader, call up and prove Valentine wrong. 800-848-9222. We'll put you to the front of the line. 1-800-848-WABC. If you want to prove Valentine wrong, if let's say under the age of 16, right? I mean, no, under the age of 15. 800-848-WABC. We'll put you right through. Patrick is in the Boogie Down Bronx. Hello, Patrick.
Good morning, Frank. I'm a retired NYPD.
Thank you, Patrick. Let me say hello to Truck Driver Will here in New York. Hello, Truck Driver Will.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Hi, yes. I don't believe in the vaccine. I don't believe in the test. I don't believe in the virus. I believe I have natural immunity supremacy. I went tested to find out if I had the virus, and they gave me a handout, said, what nationality are you? Black, white, Hispanic, Latino, whatever. I checked other and put American. What do you know? I got a call back saying inconclusive. So I think this vaccine is the mark of the beast. I don't trust it. I don't trust Fauci, the guy who invented the disease. I won't do anything that drug pusher president says, Biden or de Blasio. I'm totally anti. I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to vaccinate. And I'm totally opposed to the whole thing. I think it's terrible and evil what they're doing.
Well, see, Will, you're exactly what's so dangerous, because I don't wear a mask. I'm unvaccinated. I'm vaccinated, and I try to hang out with other people that are vaccinated, but I don't get crazy because I am vaccinated. I feel like I have a pretty good chance of not getting the virus or not being hospitalized. But the fact that you are unvaccinated and you run around without a mask is precisely what makes you so dangerous. Now, you said so many things there that are inaccurate or inflammatory or wild, but I just want to focus on one. You refer to Biden as the drug pusher president. Now, this vaccine was one of the crowning achievements of the Trump administration through Operation Warp Speed. Why do you not refer to President Trump, who's also taking the vaccine, whose administration helped develop the vaccine and get it implemented and get it ready in record time, a remarkable political and human achievement? Why do you not refer to President Trump as the drug pusher president?
Trump did not make it mandatory. And Trump used hydrochloroquine, and Trump used pharmaceuticals. Trump did finance to have this vaccine put out there, but I don't trust what's going on now and what's really in it. And who knows? You can't tell me where they made it, how they made it. I heard it's from baby fetal tissue. I don't know. And, you know, nobody, you can't tell. And who knows what's in it? And when you watch commercials for drugs on TV, they always give you the side effect. And I have friends who have had strokes and died after taking the vaccine that were perfectly healthy. So I totally don't trust this administration or any drugs that they push. I don't know what's in it.
Now,
I do believe in therapeutics over pharmaceuticals.
Now, you indicated, you mentioned hydrochloroquine. I think you meant hydroxychloroquine, but that's okay. Why is that a drug that you trust, but a vaccine which is developed by drug companies, why is that something that you don't trust?
I believe in therapeutics over pharmaceuticals. Pharma comes from means sorcery, really, and I don't trust pharmaceuticals. I don't think they're ethical, and I don't think they're safe.
No pharmaceutical. But why is hydroxychloroquine not fitting your definition of a pharmaceutical?
It's therapeutic. It's something that's been around for a long time. It's a different. I'm not really a scientist. I can't tell you.
But that's what makes your passion for this so confounding to me. But that's okay. Just on the baby's fetal tissue cells thing. Pope Francis is even getting vaccinated and urging Catholics who are pro-life to get vaccinated. If this vaccine was really made from the cells of aborted fetuses or whatever people are claiming, don't you think the Pope would have some reluctance on doing this?
Well, generally, I trust Catholics and everything, but this particular Pope, I think he's a nut and he's a socialist, and I think he's evil. I don't believe a word he says either.
Well, what about the prior Pope, Pope Benedict? I mean, Pope Benedict hasn't said anything about avoiding the vaccine for, because it's made from aborted babies or anything.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. But I really don't trust it. I think it's the mark of the beast. I heard that on a Christian radio station, and, you know, I don't know if it's true, but I believe that Biden believes it's true. I think he's evil and he's got bad intent.
All right. Well, I'm not going to defend President Biden's intent. I appreciate the call, Will. I'm not going to defend President Biden's intent, but okay, you don't like Pope Francis. Pope Benedict not only has gotten both rounds of vaccination, he got the booster shot. There's nobody more conservative as a Catholic than Pope Benedict. So, I mean, it's just, it becomes exhausting dealing with these folks. It really does. It's not the mark of the beast. It's a great way to avoid getting hospitalized for COVID. Now, if you don't want to get the vaccine because you've already had COVID or because you're young and healthy and you think you're going to be able to survive COVID if you get it and move on, fine. Okay. I can deal with all that. Or if you have a health issue and your doctor tells you not to get it, fine. But this idea that it's the mark of the beast, it's just, I mean, it's idiotic, quite frankly. I hate to say it, but it is. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Russ in White Plains. Russ, you're a little crazy sometimes. Are you anti-vax?
I am anti-mandate. There's no magnets, but people haul out these straw men to confuse people about the medicine. Everyone has their own biological metabolism. This is about microbiology. It's not about microbiology. It's about economics, Frank. Frank, I want to just say one thing. You're able to give the middle finger with your words, so I don't think that's really true that you don't give people the middle finger, you know?
Fair enough on that, Russ.
And
I'm anti-mandate as well, by the way, but I don't think the vaccine is the mark of the beast.
I don't either.
All right.
And I think if you want to get a vaccine, you certainly can get a vaccine.
Just wonderful. Like,
you know,
wonderful.
My child, when he went to school, got vaccines. I didn't like it, but I went along with it. This is a whole different thing. It's not about microbiology. This is resetting the whole system. It's about a cultural revolution. And I want to ask you, about PETA. You know, the bullpen thing, I thought armbar is pretty creative, and I feel that your ox is being gored, and that's why you don't like it, if you'll use the pun.
You know, I am going to report your use of the term ox being gored to PETA, because I can't imagine they would be pleased with that either.
Well, in context, they will understand. Give me a break. It's a cultural revolution. We're getting rid of the old ideas, you know. But as far as Alec Baldwin, real quick, have you seen that this whole thing has gone on in the context of a bitter labor dispute with IATSE, and that Baldwin was hiring scabs on the job? Did you know that?
I did not know that, but I can't say I am surprised.
They're in the civil service leader. There's a whole article this week about this contract that's being proposed, and they authorized a strike, a 90% strike authorization, but they have no strike fund. They haven't been working during the pandemic, so there's a lot of internal tension. I had an IATSE job for a while. I wish I'd stayed there. It was older guys, firefighters and cops, Teamsters, but they're there with people, young people who'll do anything to advance their careers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very tense situation, and if someone thought, well, I'll stick a loaded gun on the table and let these clowns shoot it off and scare everybody, I think there's a problem. But Baldwin's responsible for the chain of events leading up to that. I think he should go to jail.
Well, Russ, he may. Maureen Callahan, in her column in the Post this week, said that, look, as both the star of the show and, of the film and a producer of it, ultimately the buck stops with him, let alone being the trigger man. So at some point, I would think he does have to take some responsibility.
The trigger man. Absolutely, Frank.
Thank you, Russ. 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-9222. Let me say hello. Let me take a quick break, and then we'll continue with your calls in just a minute. We have five open lines if you want to jump on board. 800-848-WABC. This is The Other Side of Midnight. We're looking for 7th, 8th, and 9th graders to prove that caller wrong. So if you're a middle school student or a young high school student, we'll put you to the front of the line. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
WABC.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC. We'll be right back.
must have been the wrong time. I'd have said the right thing, but I must have used the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but I must have used the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what's good for. I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. My head is in a bad place.
Right place, wrong time. This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. You're in the right place at the right time, even if it is the wee hours of the morning. 800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Charlie in Brooklyn. Hello, Charlie.
Hello. Hello. I just want to briefly say that I think this fear of vaccinations is just a totally irrational fear, but I really don't understand, you know, how people, they sound intelligent when they speak, but this, it, I got the vaccine. I had no,
and you survived? No strokes or anything? No, mitochondritis or anything?
My shoulder was sore for 2 days. I was tired the next day, and then I'm fine.
And
my cousin, who's a medical doctor, and he read me the Riot Act. He said the side effects of the vaccine are pale in comparison to what can happen to you, especially your age, if you get COVID-19, especially now with the Delta variant. He said people are dying by the thousands. I don't know if it's statewide or citywide, but the numbers are pretty staggering. And it pays to take that precaution to get that vaccine.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And again, I can't stress enough that I'm totally against these mandates and laying off cops and firefighters and sanitation workers who won't get the vaccine. But if you're an individual, especially in a high risk group, to me, this vaccine is almost like it's a miracle, quite frankly. I don't understand why I ran to take it. I don't get it at all. I share your confusion, Charlie. But, you know, the nice thing about America is people get to make their own decisions, I suppose.
That's true. That's true. It usually takes years to develop a vaccine like this. They did it in record time.
Yeah. And again, a friend of mine who's a Republican, he said that the reason we're dealing with all this vaccine skepticism right now is because they threw Donald Trump off of Twitter. Because, you know, if Trump was on Twitter, he would have been patting himself on the back like crazy as Operation Warp Speed being the hallmark achievement of his administration. And yet, because he's not on Twitter, he really can't do that. So he did say, when he spoke multiple times, get the vaccine. He got it. His children got it. His wife got it. I just so I don't get it at all, Charlie. Thank you. 800-848-9222. Audrey in Brooklyn. Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
Morning.
I want to say, first of all, I love the way you handle folks that give out a lot of misinformation. I've been listening to your show going on up 2 months now. But what I have to say, fantastic job. But this vaccine and everything that folks are sort of all of a sudden divided on, it's common sense. Take it or not. I'm sure there's people out there that's taking everyday medication. They don't question that. What's in it and what's that? And I agree with you with the political side of it. But if this country is so divided where an ex-president has to convince people that obey him or whatever.
Well, and again, Audrey, I don't want to make it sound like it's – and thank you for the call. I don't want to make it sound like it's only conservatives or Trump supporters that don't want to get the vaccine. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., we had him on this show. He's very anti-vax. We've seen the statistics from a lot of people in the black community, not exactly a community that generally votes for Republicans. A lot of people in the black community are not trustful of the vaccines. But again, I don't know what other evidence you need, but apparently whatever other evidence you need, I can't provide for you because I don't know that I can say or do anything that's going to convince you. But I'm not here to convince you. Talk to your doctor. Talk to your doctor about it. 800-848-WABC. Joe is in the Queens. Hello, Joe.
Hey, hello. How are you?
Good.
You have a great show, and I was just – if they mandated, they should hold the companies responsible.
Yeah, okay. We're responsible in what respect exactly? I'm not sure I follow.
If you, you hear a lot of these people saying they get the shot and then they end up in a hospital or very sick, paralyzed. You know, you don't know what to believe today. That's the problem.
Yeah, I think those incidents, honestly, are few and far between. But I'm with you. If you work for a company that mandates a vaccine and they say, and then somebody gets an adverse reaction, absolutely the company should be responsible. 100%. I'm with you on that one, Joe. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Sam is calling from Marlboro, New Jersey. Hello there, Sam.
Oh, hello, Frank. Listen, this call is under the category of asking you any question. And let me give you a little background. During the Trump administration, the Ninth Circuit, people would go to the Ninth Circuit and get these federal devices called, I guess they were called injunctions. And that would inhibit the Trump administration from activities, from doing what they wanted to do for quite a while. Now, right now, we have a lot of people breaking the law at the border, coming in illegally, among other things, doing a lot of illegal actions and against law. And I'm just amazed that no one has gone to get an injunction from some judge. They judge shopped during the Trump administration. I know they got a judge out in Hawaii to do, you know, issue an injunction. No one has gone to a federal judge to get an injunction, nationwide injunction, against what's going on at the border.
But Sam, what's going on at the border is already illegal. So an injunction, I mean, what would it do? I mean, it can't make it more illegal.
Well, when they got an injunction against the people coming in from certain countries, wasn't that a category that they regarded as an illegal action?
Are you talking about under the Biden presidency or the Trump presidency?
Well, I was talking under the Trump presidency. This is what, you know, that when he had restricted immigration from certain Arab countries.
Well, it wasn't just Arab countries. It was terrorist countries, including North Korea.
Right, right.
But that was different because that was an executive order that Trump had given that they were challenging. The difference is that the people who are breaking into the country right now, which is exactly what they're doing, that they are already not allowed to be doing that. You see what I'm saying?
But the Department of Homeland Security is the one that you would get the injunction against, that they're not enforcing the law.
Right. Well, I'm not a lawyer, Sam, you have a point there. You have a point. But we'll see. 800-848-9222. It almost reminds me of a scene in Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. Now, much like Kramer, I believe that Star Trek III is a phenomenal film. A lot of the Star Trek II enthusiasts, they don't give Star Trek III a second thought. But there's one scene in particular where listening to Sam, the caller there, it reminds me of a scene in that film where Dr. McCoy is trying to charter a space flight. He's trying to rent a spaceship to go to a sector of space that's he's not allowed to go to. And he's negotiating with this, you know, half con artist, half huckster, and this is what transpires.
I here am new, but you are known being McCoy from Enterprise.
You have me at a disadvantage, sir.
By name not important. You seek I. Message received. Available ship stands by.
How much and how soon?
How soon is now. How much is where?
Somewhere in the Mutara sector.
Oh, Mutara restricted. Take permits, many. Money, more.
There aren't going to be any damn permits. How can you get a permit to do a damn illegal thing?
So that's what I was thinking when Sam brought up the idea of an injunction, right? So what they're doing is already illegal. So you can't get an injunction to stop someone from doing something that's already illegal any more than you can get a permit to do, as McCoy says there, a damned illegal thing. So that's that. 800-848-WABC. Still looking for those 7th graders, 8th graders, and 9th graders. Hey, if you're the father or mother of a – or parents, if you prefer the gender-neutral term, of one of those middle school students – don't make me look bad here. Just wake them up if they're not listening. Wake them up and have them call in, because the last thing I need is any help looking foolish. 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-9222. Norman is in Brooklyn. Hello, Norman.
Hello, Frank. Hello. Listen, I took the vaccine. I took the Johnson & Johnson back in May. I had tremors from it. I was not well from taking it for a couple of days. And I've had since then, I've taken the vaccine. I have these moments of tremors, like almost Parkinson's like type things where my hands shake. Went to the doctor, pretty much ruled out everything. The only thing that was different in my life is taking that vaccine. And I can just tell you that according to the VAERS database, which is they compile, reactions to this to the vaccine. As of 8/20, there was 13,627 deaths from it, 17,794 permanently disabled, and 55,821 hospitalizations reported.
Yeah.
My friend Olga, she took it, and she's 38 years old in good health and spent 4 days in a hospital. So, I'm just telling you, we're a country of 330 million people. 13,000 deaths is no big deal, apparently, statistically. You can't say this is completely safe. This drug was only developed over a 7-month period of time, and you and I have no idea. We have no idea what the effects of this are going to be 2 years down the line.
Well, first of all, Norman, I'm not saying that, and again, I can't believe we're having vaccine talk again, but here we are. But I know.
This is it. We're not going to have any more.
No, it's okay. But I'm glad you brought it up. But as far as, because this is an issue that the city's dealing with right now. I'm not saying that that people haven't had negative reactions to the vaccine. As far as the reliance on VAERS, V-A-E-R-S, that is a self-reporting system, and it does not show cause and effect. So I'm very skeptical of any statistics in V-A-E-R-S. It's useful for the CDC to have as a base of information to draw from, but I do think it's been a little hyped up.
Okay. One more thing.
Go ahead. Sure.
I just want to let you know, today I went to the rally. Curtis was there. I shook his hand.
Oh, great.
And I was wearing your hat.
Oh, wonderful. Good.
And I just want to say, Curtis is electric. And you had like between 5,000 and 8,000 people there today. And everybody was shouting, Curtis, Curtis, Curtis. And everybody wanted to have their picture taken with him, including me, which I did not do. So, but I don't know, my phone wasn't working good, right? But anyway, my point is that I called up Dominic earlier and I said, Curtis is going to win. Curtis is going to win, period.
Well, look, Norman, I hope you're right. And believe it or not, I tend to think that you may be right. And I know people may think that I'm seeing the world through rose-colored glasses.
No, you're not. You're not. You you may not be getting the VAERS thing right, but we are right. Curtis is going to win.
All right. Thank you, Norman. Appreciate it. Very quickly, before we run out of time this hour, let me say hello to Patricia in Maybrook. Hello, Patricia.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm talking about calling about the vaccine and all.
All right. We only got about a minute here. Patricia, what do you want to say?
Well, just about through this whole thing, I thought about that drug that was given to the women, the pregnant women, the drug thalidomide.
Mm-hmm.
And it deformed the babies, and nobody knew about it, but it was tested. It was put through the process. There was no urgent thing like we have right now. And we don't know everything involved with this drug. And 2 days ago, I was talking in the diner with a lady. She knew 4 people that had taken it. They didn't, and some of them were young, and the one girl took the shot and she died the next day. So, and she was planning to go to college. So this should be a choice on the people.
Agreed. It should absolutely be a choice. Absolutely.
But people shouldn't be threatened with their jobs.
Agreed.
Now, where's the equality there?
Patricia, 100% agree. Nobody should be, and especially the police officers. I mean, we're not really in a position to lose any additional cops right now, which is exactly what would happen here. I think we're on the same page. All right. Next hour, we'll do the $1,000 minute. I'll give you a roof update. I know a lot of you are eager to hear what happened with that. Sunday is Halloween. We'll talk some Halloween stuff. And we'll continue with your calls. We'll do the $1,000 minute, give away $1,000, hopefully. And we've got some other fun stuff as well. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Until next hour, your influence counts, so use it.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I am Frank Morano, yours truly here. Sunday is Halloween. I'm going to a Halloween party tonight. You know, see, it's funny. Things always sound so much fun in the future, but whenever it's that day, it just becomes one more thing that you have to go to. But I'm looking forward to going. I have decided on selecting the Halloween costume that will take minimal effort. So I am going to this Halloween party tonight as Vincent Chin Gigante so that I can wear a bathrobe. And that's what I'm doing. I'm going to this party in a bathrobe and a hat, and like a newsboy cap. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, Sunday is the actual day. I like Halloween. It's a lot of fun. You'd be home, give candy to the children, and people masquerading as children. But whenever it's Halloween, there's always a story. There's always a discussion about candy. And I don't have an exceptional sweet tooth. And there are candies that I like, but they're candies that tend to be more savory than sweet. I don't like anything that's too sticky. So Starburst, as far as I'm concerned, out. Skittles, out. Anything that sticks to your teeth, not for me. Caramel, anything caramel, ugh, out. Anything that sticks to your teeth, won't have it. I do like peanuts, right, and peanut butter. So anything that has peanuts in it or peanut butter, like M&M's, peanut M&M's, or Crackle, or Mr. Goodbar, or the Payday, or Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, full size, not the minis. Reese's Pieces, oh, love Reese's Pieces. Anything with peanut butter in it, because that's more of a savory snack than a salty one. So there's a big discussion about candy corn. And I know Bernie and Sid were talking about this a little bit yesterday, and I was sorry that I couldn't participate in that discussion, because I am fascinated by candy corn. Candy corn is, in my view, one of the worst things that a human being can possibly consume. And yet, I'm amazed that there are so many people that love candy corn. The National Confectioners Association estimates that there are 35 million pounds of candy corn sold each year. 35 million pounds. October 30th, tomorrow, that's National Candy Corn Day because so many of the sales come right around Halloween. You know what candy corn was originally called? Chicken feed. Doesn't it look more like chicken feed than candy corn? It does. So I can't stand candy corn. And at the time that it was invented, candy corn wasn't necessarily a popular food amongst humans. It was mainly used as food for animals. So the original box of the candy featured a rooster and contained the words, "something worth crowing for." So this changed after World War I when corn became more popular for human consumption. I'd love to know where you are on candy corn. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Now, you can get candy corn year-round. It's made year-round. But it's usually, I only see it around Halloween. And I know they have different themed candy corns. They try to get it to take off for Valentine's or Christmas, even Easter in recent years. But it really is, it's like turkey on Thanksgiving. Candy corn, Thanksgiving is the candy corn holiday. Even as much as they try to get it to branch out towards other holidays, it's not working. Not working. 800-848-9222. I am anti-candy corn. I'd love to know where you are and what your favorite Halloween candy is. Matt, where are you on candy corn? Are you having a candy corn themed cake or something?
I am not. I would rather not. I absolutely hate candy corn.
So you hate it. Molly, what about you? Where are you on this? You're with us? You don't like it either? Oh, you like it. Yeah, it figures you would. Yeah.
Forgive me if you mentioned this already, but another one that I hate is circus peanuts.
I don't think I've tried those. Are those the marshmallow things?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, those don't look
disgusting.
Good to me. Yeah, I don't. I've never tried those, so I can't comment on that. But Marie Wright, who is the chief global flavorist and one of just 300 such experts in the world, and a nutrition leader at Archer Daniels Midland, who developed more than 1,000 flavors for food and beverage companies, she says there's a major reason why candy corn is so divisive. This is what she said. It's funny, really. It seems to be a very emotional holiday, a very emotional candy. People have a real strong opinion. It's almost like if you want to start a little bit of heated discussion, you ask somebody about candy corn. It seems to evoke a very strong response. So what she says is the area of the brain where we process smell, which has a major impact on how we process taste, is in the same part of the brain where we store memories and evoke emotion. In that primitive part of the brain, often there's a strong connection between an event, especially when it's food, and childhood. So she is saying that the nostalgia of this candy might draw in pro-candy corn people. I think that's a lot of hooey. Paul Adams, who's a senior editor at Cook's Illustrated Magazine, told USA Today, from a sensory perspective, the hatred of candy corn can be explained because, unlike many candies, its flavor profile doesn't incorporate contrast. It's just intensely sweet tasting, which can produce palate fatigue, like eating spoonfuls of honey or sugar. Yes, that's what I'm feeling. Palate fatigue. Are you a candy corn enthusiast? Or do you believe that the best place for candy corn, a.k.a. chicken feed, is the trash?
A question. Since before your sun burned hot in space and before your race was born, I have awaited a question.
800-848-9222. And I'm going to ask another separate Halloween question. I hate to throw out two Halloween-related questions, but I have to. We want to get this in before the $1,000 minute in 20 minutes. My wife does not like scary movies. But every Halloween, I persuade her to watch a movie that's sort of scary. And I love getting suggestions from listeners. Last year, you guys suggested a whole bunch of good Halloween movies that we could watch that I would enjoy that fits the Halloween motif, but that were not too scary and that they would scare my wife. I'd love if you have one of those suggestions as well, 800-848-9222. But here's the twist on what we did last year. Because of my odd schedule, I often wake up on Saturday morning or Sunday morning 3 or 4 hours before my wife does. So what I'm thinking of doing this year is I'm going to watch a real scary movie before she wakes up. So in addition to your suggestion of a film we can watch together, I would love a suggestion of a real scary movie. I am occasionally asked what the scariest film I've seen is. I think it might be, and it might be more disturbing than scary, the original version of The Last House on the Left, which is really frightening and really terrifying and really bizarre. But if you have another suggestion, otherwise I'll just go through, you know, the Halloween film franchise is great, although I don't like that it's not consistent with itself. We discussed that when Marlena was here. So we'll see. If you have a good suggestion of something really scary that I can watch and something not too scary that Rachel can watch. 800-848-9222. Gina in Brooklyn, where are you on candy corn?
I hate candy corn, Frank.
Of course you do, because you're a red-blooded American with a brain and with four senses on your tongue.
Welcome to the club, Gina.
I hate candy corn. I used to give it away, and I tasted it once, and that was the end of it.
You know what it is? In addition to not tasting good, the consistency when you chew it is so, to me anyway, it's so off-putting.
It's horrible candy. And a good movie that I remember from way back was Dr. Terror's House of Horrors.
Let me write this one down here because I'm not going to have all these committed to memory. See, my mouse is awfully slippery. That's going to be an interesting time for the early news here. Hang on one second here. Let me get you to repeat that one more time if I can, Gina.
Dr. Terror's House of Horrors.
Dr. Terror's House of Horrors. Okay. Is that one for me solo or one we can watch together?
Oh, I think, it scared me so much I stopped liking scary movies.
Oh, okay. So that's one that I have to watch solo. Okay. That's thank you, Gina. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there. 800-848-WABC. Mark in Westchester. Hello.
Yes, sir. I love candy corn, especially if you have full 100% milk, not the diluted milk, but whole milk and candy corn. That's my heroin.
That's your heroin?
During Halloween. I love it so much. I can't tell you how much.
What's your Narcan then? That's why you're still drinking milk, Mark?
I'm drinking full milk.
All right. God bless you. God bless you. That's maybe there's something to what this person's saying here about nostalgia and that playing a role here. Thanks, Mark. 800-848-WABC. Favorite Halloween candy number one. Recommendation for a film that I can watch with my wife that won't scare her, number two. And recommendation for a film that's as scary as you can possibly imagine that I can watch by myself before she wakes up Saturday or Sunday. 800-848-9222. Tom in Westchester. Hello.
Hi, Frank. Good morning. I have a recommendation for a great film for you and your wife, if you guys haven't seen it, and listeners as well. Have you seen The Innocence?
The Innocence. I don't think so.
The Innocence. Black and white film, British film, with Deborah Carr maybe Michael Redgrave. One of the Redgraves is in it briefly. And it's based on a Henry James story called The Turn of the Screw. and the photography is great. The music is great. And it is really, you know, I was a film student at Columbia as an adult, and I turned one of my professors on to this film who had never seen it. And a couple of days later, she came back to me and said, "My God, that thing, it's unbelievable. I think you'll really enjoy it." Now, it's not violent. It's not gory. You know, it's all psychological and
I like that. Well, do you think it's – now, I'll see it based on your description, but do you think it's too scary for my wife?
I don't think it's too scary for her. It's unnerving. It's unnerving because you kind of don't know whether the things that are taking place are a product of the main character, who's Deborah Carr, is a product of her imagination, or is it really going on? And it kind of rides the line. It's a fabulous film. I don't think it's too scary for your wife. I think it will unnerve you. And pardon me, also, it's the kind of film that you guys will probably talk about for a week. You know, you might even want to see it again. So The Innocents, I think it's 1962, black and white British film, Deborah Carr. And also, just quickly, I'll recommend a B-horror movie for you. Your wife may or may not like this one, but if you've never seen Carnival of Souls.
Carnival of Souls. No. What's that about? I've never seen that one either.
Okay, that's another sort of a psychological thing with some ghouls and monsters in it. It's B-movie, you know. The acting isn't great.
That's okay.
The photography
is
great. Young lady is in a car with some of her girlfriends. Some guys drive up, and they challenge them to a drag race. And the car with the women in it goes off the bridge. And then one of the ladies gets out of the car. She survives the crash, and it takes off from there. And again, the suggestion is that she doesn't want to accept the fact that she's dead, and so she's sort of...
All right, well, don't give too much more away. I'm already okay. Sold on this. I'll see if I can find that this weekend. Thank you. I got an article here that Matt Sapienza found from MarketWatch. He found that according to sales, the most popular candy in America is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, and the least popular is, of course, candy corn. Not surprising. Number two least popular is Circus Peanuts, which Matt also didn't like. So you're very much in tune with where the public is, Matt.
Yep, and they are. Those are completely accurate. Like, at least in my eyes, that's where they should be. Others on the list, like, I'll just read 3 through 5. 3 is Peanut Butter Kisses, 4 is Smarties, and 5 is Necco Wafers.
What, people don't like Necco Wafers?
I do not like Necco Wafers.
I like them. They're okay.
Like, Smarties I can do. Smarties I can do. But Necco Wafers I haven't had in, like, 5 years.
Smarties are too tart for me. I do like Necco Wafers, though. 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-9222. We are taking your calls, one on Halloween film recommendations when you consider the fact that my wife does not like to be scared, but also Halloween movie recommendations that I can watch by myself or with a buddy or something because I do like to be scared. 800-848-9222. But just a quick aside, and we'll get back to this in a second.
You know what really grinds my gears?
You know what I just can't take, guys? I cannot stand for people who comment on Facebook links, right? You link to an article, which goes somewhere, and presumably I'm linking to it because it's pretty interesting. And then the people commenting comment based only on the headline to the article and not the substance of the article. I am begging you, please. It's driving me nuts. It's driving me nuts. I posted the Mel Brooks article yesterday, and I can tell people are not reading the article. They're reacting only to the headline and answering questions that are in the headline. Guys, how much effort does it take to just click on it? Read. You don't have to read the whole thing. Read a paragraph or two. Well, other than why comment? I don't know what possesses people to comment on articles they haven't read. 800-848-WABC. Fred is in the Queens. Hello, Fred.
Good morning, Frank. I would rather eat Matt Sapienza's shoe than candy corn. Regarding the scary movie, I would recommend Wait Until Dark. Wait Until Dark is in the late 60s. It's a psychological thriller. It stars Audrey Hepburn. She was nominated for an Academy Award. Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., Richard Crenna. I recall seeing it as a youngster. And I will tell you, it's frightening.
Fred, were you on already today?
On what?
On the radio. I feel like you were on in the first hour.
Not your show.
All right. Very good, Fred. Thank you. Wait Until Dark. Putting it on the list. Wait Until Dark. I have to see which of these are on streaming, which are free, which I have to pay for. That'll largely dictate my behavior. Let me say hello to Joseph in the Hudson Valley. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, yeah. I want to like a movie and something you hate.
All right. Go ahead.
Children of the Candy Corn.
That's very funny, Joseph. That's good. I like that.
All right, man.
Well done. 800-848-9222. That's not bad. Children of the Candy Corn. 800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to Ralph in New Jersey. Hello, Ralph.
Yeah, I like the the Thriller video by Michael Jackson, because it's kind of...
But that's a music video.
Well, okay, but also the movie Blackula. Have you
Blackula? Blackula or Dracula?
Blackula.
Yeah, I like all those blaxploitation films. I some of them are very funny, and thanks, Ralph. And there, George Hamilton is in a very funny send-up of those blaxploitation films called Love at First Bite, which is very good. It's very funny. And there's a scene, and again, this is the kind of humor that you could never do now. But when George Hamilton flies in as a bat, when his character flies in as a bat, and then you have that black family that tries to chase the bat and capture it so that they can eat it. It's hysterical. I mean, it's totally inappropriate. It's completely politically incorrect, but it's very funny. 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-9222. Carol is in New Jersey. Hello, Carol.
Hi there, Frank. I used to get candy corn all the time when I trick-or-treated, and I wound up giving it to my parents. I didn't even want to eat it.
It's horrible. It's horrible candy.
Oh, and they used to give out, a lot of people in my neighborhood used to give out the mini Reese's peanut butter cups. Those you could eat too many of. That's for sure.
You're right about that, Carol. You're right about that. That's for sure.
I don't eat any sweets at all anymore because I want to make sure I stay in good shape and I don't want to gain any additional weight. So I just cut out all sweets.
Well, I think that's very wise, Carol. And as I said, I'm not a big one for sweets either, but they end up being all around on Halloween. So sometimes if you have a choice and you pick one, maybe you end up having one just for that day. Pedro is in the Boogie Down Bronx. Hello, Pedro.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
My recommendation to you as far as the movie would be The Island of Dr. Moreau. But the 1970s version, because they did a remake.
Yeah, I saw the remake because I love Val Kilmer and I love Marlon Brando, and that has got to be one of the worst films ever made.
Yes. Yeah. But the movie, back in the 70s, you're a kid, you're on a date, you're going to go out on a Friday night, just before Halloween. That was the perfect date movie.
Yep. No, I don't doubt it. I've never seen the original. I'm going to have to check it out, Pedro. Thank you. Steve in Manhattan, what do you got for us?
All right, Big Frank, you give me a quart of milk, and I'll plow through a box of chocolate Entenmann's donuts.
Where am I getting a quart of milk from, Steve?
Well, there's 24-hour stores all over the place.
Okay. Oh, a quart of milk.
Wait a minute. I heard you say you still drink milk. What's wrong with milk?
I don't know. It's just I picture it being something that an 8-year-old boy would drink.
Right. I think, this is my opinion, 1% or skim milk organic is delicious. Now, as far as a movie, I want to get to the meat and potatoes. As far as a movie, what do you want your wife, if she doesn't like scary movies, you want to lie in bed staring at the ceiling?
No, like...
I know you've seen this one. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I know you... I know you've seen this. I know you've seen this movie, but she probably hasn't seen Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. It's a little scary. It's funny.
See, that's what I'm looking for. Like recommendations for films like that. That's something that she can watch. Like there was also a film in the 80s. You might remember it. It's kind of silly, but it's called Monster Squad. That's not a scary movie, but it's got monsters in it. That's what I'm looking for her.
Exactly. But now, let me just get to the meat and potatoes here. I know Curtis is going to do a one-hour special at 12 o'clock on WABC. He's got to let the whole planet know that he's bringing back everyone who's going to get laid off in New York City, workers, firemen, police. People have to realize the hard left, it's not a political party. It's a cult of human misery. That's what it is. Firing police officers, fire workers, you know, firemen, hospital workers. People worked so hard the last 2 years. Now, instead of being rewarded, they're going to be penalized and fired. No, this is insane what's going on. And that's what they want to do. This is more like defund the police. De Blasio must be laughing. They must be popping champagne corks on Halloween, firing cops and everything. They love this stuff. We're well on our way to Detroit in New York City, and then eventually the whole country is going to be in Detroit. But listen, light aside, Abbott and Costello, you don't want your wife lying in bed staring at the ceiling.
You're right. No, you're right, Steve. It's a good recommendation. And you were the first one to say it's either Curtis or Detroit. That's for sure. 800-848-WABC. Leo is in Manhattan. Hello, Leo.
Hello, Frank. I just have memories on horror from my childhood. I believe the movie was made in 1961. And the name of the movie, originally the book is from Ellen Edgar Poe. And the movie name was, I believe, Pit and the Pendulum.
Oh, the Pit and the Pendulum. I've seen that. That's a great film.
Okay, that was my horror movie. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Leo. 800-848-WABC. Hey, you know what we'll do? It's time now for, well, time momentarily, for the $1,000 minute. Yesterday, we were getting awfully close. For all of you people out there that say, oh, it's not possible to answer 10 questions in 60 seconds. Yes, it is. That guy, Pete in Piscataway, who was on yesterday, he was on pace to win. And he had to stop and think about a couple of questions, and he was still on pace. But he got tripped up when it comes to what Chandler's last name was on Friends. Couldn't remember the last name, so he didn't end up winning. Well, we have a brand new set of questions, and I think they're pretty easy, actually. And if you think you have what it takes, call now to 1-800-848-9222. And if you are the seventh caller to 1-800-848-WABC, you can, and you've never played before, you can have an opportunity to participate in the contest. You'll have 60 seconds to answer 10 trivia questions. And if you get one wrong, you lose. If you get all 10 right, you win $1,000. Simple as that. This is The Other Side of Midnight. We'll play the $1,000 minute.
77 WABC, where the action is.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
I just moved in my new house today. Moving was hard, but I got squared away. Bell started ringing and chains rattled loud. I knew I'd moved in a haunted house. Still I made up in my mind to stay. Nothing was gonna drive me away.
Well done, Jumpin' Gene Simmons, Haunted House. This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. Every morning at this time, we give one lucky listener an opportunity to win some money with
The Other Side of Midnight presents,
it's the $1,000 Minute. Answer 10 questions correctly in 1 minute, and you could win $1,000. Here's your host, Frank Morano.
Ah, yes, I am your host. This is the $1,000 Minute. Thank you, Chris Libertini. This is a very simple contest, as you heard from the announcer there. $1,000 will be given to anybody that can answer 10 questions in 60 seconds. It's more difficult than it sounds. So far, we have not had a winner, and it's not for lack of effort. Yesterday, we came close. We had a contestant make it up to the 7th question. The day before, we had Al in Manhattan. He came pretty close. But so far, we have not been able to give this money away. Today, we're going to try with Jim in Stamford, Connecticut. Hello there, Jim.
Hey, Frank, how are you? Pleasure to talk to you.
The pleasure is all mine. So you're familiar with the contest, right, Jim?
Yes, I am.
All right. You ready to go?
Yeah, I'll try it.
All right.
Hopefully so I get one right.
Yes, and no, you're going to be fine. The clock is going to start after I ask the first question. If you get a question right, we're just going to move on to the next question so we can run through these as quickly as possible. All right?
Okay, you got it.
All right, and if you get one wrong, Matt will play the buzzer, and you'll be very disappointed. Okay, here we go. How many letters are in the alphabet?
26.
Who is the current president of Russia?
Putin.
What's the capital of France?
France would be Paris.
What is Bernard from the Bernie and Sid show's last name?
McGurk.
What football team did Lawrence Taylor play for?
The New York Giants.
I have three types of the same pet. What animal is that pet?
Cats.
What's the hardest rock?
I'm going to go with diamond.
Name the world's biggest island.
Australia.
It is Greenland. Damn. Greenland.
Okay.
You were on pace to win that one there, Jim. You were on the 8th question, which I think is farther than anyone got.
Officially has broken the record.
Yeah, no, that's it. And with 17 seconds left to go, that's what I had, Matt. Right, so you were on pace there. Now let me see. And again, you didn't win, so it almost doesn't matter. And maybe I shouldn't torture you this way. But this was going to be the 9th question. I'm curious if you would have gotten this. What was Britney Spears' first song? Would you have gotten that?
How much time do I have?
Well, I mean, you're already lost. It's over. The contest is over. But I'm just
I'm just saying, hit me one more time or something like that.
Yeah, it's Baby One More Time. So that would have been that would have been controversial. That would have been left up to the judges if you got that one right. All right, Jim, hang on. We're gonna take your address and have we're gonna have Ryan send you a the other side of Midnight baseball cap. Well done, though. Either I'm making the questions too easy or our listeners are getting smarter, one of the two. And, I'm having all sorts of problems with the trackpad on my laptop. My whole show is on this laptop. So it's going to be much more difficult to navigate between all these news stories that we go through for the early news if I can't get this straightened out. So you know what's going to happen? I could restart it, but I don't want to lose all the tabs that I have open. I have tabs open. I have documents open that I haven't saved yet. It's very cumbersome. So I tried to plug in a mouse and to the laptop, and that didn't seem to work either. So maybe we can find a new mouse. Molly, see if you can find a new mouse that I can try for this laptop to see if this works. But we'll see. All right. Hey, some good news, actually, that I wanted to share with you. And I'm not sure if I am supposed to say this or not, but I got a look yesterday at the ratings for the month of September. Now, I have to be very careful with this because last time I posted the ratings for the previous month and I posted them on social media, I got a call from our boss, the program director, saying, take that down immediately because it's proprietary information and the radio stations that subscribe to Nielsen, they spent a lot of money to have this information. So they don't like, I guess, that people would post it online for free for everybody to see. So I'm going to try and be kind of vague about it so that I don't get in trouble and that no one yells at me. But I will tell you this. So for the month of September, we had the highest ratings for this show, The Other Side of Midnight, that we've ever had. The highest that we've ever had in a year of being on. And there's two things about this that I'm very, very proud of here. And not just proud of, but grateful not only to you for listening, but for the great job that Molly and Matt have done in helping get the show to the next level. But one is we didn't just beat WOR, right? But we beat both of the all news stations as well in the category of persons 12 plus, which is basically anybody that listens to the radio. So we have almost double the audience of WOR, which has a very good show on that's been for a long time, and the all news stations, WINS and CBS, which are just a juggernaut for the rest of the day. We far and away beat them as well. So big thank you to you guys for making that possible. And again, this is where I don't want to be too detailed here because I don't want to get in trouble, but. But we actually did a 10.1 share for the month of September. Now, what that means is that out of every 100 radios that are on right now, 10 of them are listening to this show. So out of every 10 people listening to the radio right now, more than one of them are listening to me. Now, for an AM station especially, that's extraordinary. So if you're sitting in traffic right now on the BQE or Staten Island Expressway or the Gowanus or wherever you happen to be, the Long Island Expressway, if you pass 10 cars, roll down the window, ask if they're listening to The Other Side of Midnight, and if you get to at least 9 cars, one of them will say yes. So it's a great way for you to make a new friend. Perhaps that was behind, perhaps that's what was behind John Catsimatidis taking out these ads in the New York Post last week saying that we're now number one in talk radio from, I believe he said, from 10 p.m. to, or I could have it wrong, no, from 6 p.m. at night during the week to 10 a.m. in the morning. And I shared that ad when it was taken out, when John took it out in the New York Post. It's on my Facebook page if you want to see it, facebook.com/MoranoFan. I'm imagining that John has already seen these numbers, and that's why he's so happy to tell the story about what we're doing here at night. But big thank you to you for that, for making that happen. Now, speaking of the great ratings that the whole station is enjoying, it's time now for the WABC clip of the day, which comes to us from the Bernie and Sid show, right?
Oh, no, it doesn't.
No, it does
it
not.
Comes to us from the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Tower show.
I'm sure Paul from the Bronx will be very pleased about that. Yes, let's hear the WABC clip of the day.
We used to say, if you see something, say something. Now, this is different today. If you see something, say nothing. Today's moral compass: if you see something, say nothing. This is not only a reflection, folks, on how our society has disintegrated. It's a reflection of the dehumanization of the crime victim, of a culture that has no feeling for the victim of crime.
There you have it, Judge Jeanine Pirro, always spirited, always fired up, always energetic, that's for sure. James is in North Carolina. Hello, James.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
Oh, and by the way, I neglected to mention that our telephone talent coordinator, Ryan, edited that clip, so I want him to get his just desserts. Yes, I'm doing well, James. What do you got planned for Halloween?
Not much. Just hanging out, staying safe.
Okay, good.
Got some movie recommendations for you. For
wonderful.
How about Young Frankenstein?
You know, I think she would like that, actually. She may have even already seen that, but that's a good one. If she hasn't, that's a good one.
And, also, for her, American Werewolf in London?
No, she can't handle that one. I've seen that.
Okay.
That's
okay.
You know, just the scene of him wolfing out, that's too much for her. She can't do it.
Okay, I got two for you. There's Let Me In, the Swedish version.
Let Me In?
Yep, and be sure and watch the Swedish version, made in Sweden, but it's got English language. It's really creepy.
Okay, I'm writing that one down.
And then Drag Me to Hell.
That one I have seen as well, actually. That's pretty good. That's pretty scary, actually. I like that.
Yep.
Not as scary as Last House on the Left, but it is good.
Have a happy Halloween.
Hey, you too, James. Thank you. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. So, I had been describing yesterday the situation with the leak that's in our bar room. So let me catch you up if you didn't get to hear this yesterday. My wife and I moved into this house in October, and it's an older house, but, you know, we like it. And we heard that the roof was in need of some fixing up. So my mother says, all right, as a housewarming gift, I'm gonna pay to have your whole roof redone. Brand new roof. Very generous of her. We didn't ask her to do it. She insisted. She pays $2,200 to have the whole roof reshingled and this and that. And you know what? Since last October, it has been great. It's been great. Until 4 or 5 days ago, that day of that bad storm, there's a leak that sprung in our bar room. So then my wife calls the roofer that did the work. I think his name is Joe the roofer. She calls Joe the roofer to come over and take a look. He puts some tar on the roof right where the leak is. Put some tar on. There's still a leak. So my wife calls him back. He doesn't answer. She calls another roofer. This guy comes. This guy recommended by Joe Borelli. This guy comes, goes up the roof, doesn't charge anything, but he goes up to the roof and he says, here's your problem. You have moss on your roof, and the moss is acting like a sponge and collecting water, and it's going underneath your shingles. That's what he said. So he says, you can either hire someone to pressure wash this, or you can have your husband go up to the roof and scrub it with a brush. So my wife says to me, this is where we left off yesterday. My wife says to me, here's your choice. I called three pressure washer people. If one of them calls me back, I'll hire them to do it. If one of them doesn't, then you're going up there. Here's the brush you're going to use to take that moss off. So I was deluged with email yesterday of people saying, don't use a pressure washer on the roof because it degrades the shingle or something. And I woke up yesterday afternoon, and my wife says, all right, good news. Pressure washer guy was here today. And I said, well, no, honey. I'm telling you, these listeners say don't use a pressure washer on the roof. And she said, no. I spoke to the guy. He said he can use the pressure washer with no problem. And he'll put it on a gentle cycle. And he does this before. He's used it on roofs before. He says he can do it. But he says the problem is going to be that it'll leak while he's pressure washing. My wife says to him, oh, she doesn't mind. She'll just put the bucket where it is. But then the pressure washer guy says to her that he doesn't think the problem is the moss. And that goes hand in hand with what I heard from some of you yesterday, that the moss is not the problem. So I say, all right, let me do two things. Let me scrub all the moss off on the roof. I'll go out there on the roof. I'll scrub all the moss off. Then I'll go to the store and I'll get some of this wet and forget that everybody talks about, that apparently you spray on and then when it rains, it kills all the moss that's on there to get anything that I can't scrub off. Great. Now, the problem is the air conditioning unit is still in there. So I have to take out the air conditioning unit first. I unscrew one screw. And I try to unscrew the other. The other screw is not coming out. Now, my wife is sitting there, or standing there next to me, and she's about this point just about lost her patience. And she gives me a look that she's at this point in her pregnancy and this point in our marriage that she doesn't have an abundance of patience for me taking a long time to remove screws. So she leaves and says, all right, call me when you are able to remove this out of here. So I keep at this screw for a few minutes. I go to get my drill. The drill's not very helpful. I go and get this multi-purpose tool, and that's not even helpful. I go back to the drill. Now the drill is somewhat helpful, and I'm up there, and my wife is cautioning me, and she says, look, make sure you dump all the water out of the window before you bring it in here because you don't want water everywhere. So I finally get this screw out. Now I'm holding the air conditioner. Because now it's loose, pretty much. Now that I've unscrewed it from the window unit where it is, it's loose. And It's in my hands. My hands are not free. And a whole bunch of water comes into our bedroom. And I'm calling to my wife so that she can grab a towel. Rachel, I'm calling. Honey, no response. No response. She's in her office. She's in another room. She's not hearing me. I'm yelling louder. Rachel! Nothing. So I use the smart speaker that I hate having, but Arthur Idala gave it to us, and it is very convenient. I use the smart speaker to try and call her. I said, Alexa, call Rachel. And she says, do you mean Rachel? I said, yes. So it rings. It rings. It rings. No answer. No answer. So what do? I get this air conditioning unit in our bedroom. I take it out of the window. This is only the first leg of what I have to do. There's water all over the place. I go downstairs. I said, honey, did you not hear me calling you? And she said, I got a missed call from a Texas number that I didn't know, which I didn't answer. And apparently she didn't answer because she was an unknown number. So then I explain the situation. Then I go and I'm on the roof. I leave the bedroom. I'm on the roof and I'm scrubbing all the moss off the roof. I get all as much of the moss that can come up with just a scrubbing situation. I get as much of it as possible off the roof. And it's kind of fun, actually. It's kind of very satisfying that you have these ingrained pieces of grass and algae sticking to these shingles, and you use this brush to dislodge them. But I still have to get this wet and forget stuff. So I said, honey, all right, I'm going to leave. And she was going to leave, too, and go run some errands. I'm going to go leave and get this wet and forget stuff. So I go to my local hardware store because I like to support small business and because it's close. Of course, they don't have it. So that means I have to drive 20 minutes to Home Depot, which I hate to do. I hate these big box stores. But they go there, and I get the product that I think they're supposed to have. There's a couple of versions of this product. I get the one that you can screw the hose right in and spray it right on, and then the next time it rains, it will get rid of all the moss. I get that. I go to the front of our house. I screw the hose in. I turn it on. Nothing's working. Nothing's working. There's no water coming into this wet and forget stuff at all. It's not spraying. And I'm just exhausted already. I've been at this. I haven't gotten one lick of work for the show done yet. And I was supposed to pre-tape an interview. I had to cancel that. And I hadn't gotten any work for the show done. I'm already exhausted. And it's already taken way too much time to do this. And now I'm home by myself dealing with all this. I investigate why there's no water coming through this wet and forget sprayer thing. Turns out the hose has a hole in it. And there's a giant hole and the hose is leaking. It's not making it all the way to the end of the hose. All right, let me go to the backyard. Use the backyard hose. Let me plug the backyard hose in. Repeat this whole process. Now I have it working. I start spraying this stuff on, but here's where being short comes in. I'm not able to see how much of the roof and what sections of the roof I'm saturating. And I have to make sure that the roof is well saturated. So I go and I'm standing on a chair in the backyard, and that gives me a little bit better angle, and I think I'm doing a pretty good job saturating, but there's some parts of the roof that I'm missing. So I said, all right, let me go to the garage and get a ladder. I have a ladder. So I go to the garage, get a ladder, and I step a couple steps up on that ladder, and I'm saturating more of the roof. And then I said, all right, well, let me make sure I get a little of the front of the roof too. Let me move the ladder to the side of the house. And in order to be able to see, I climb, and there's nobody there to hold the ladder. Nobody there to hold the ladder. And I climb to almost the very top of the ladder. Not quite the top level, but one below the top level. And now the ladder starts wavering. It's on a deck that's not in the best of shape and a carpet that had been soaked. And the ladder itself may not even be in the best of shape. The ladder starts wavering, and now I'm pretty concerned that I'm going to fall. And I'm thinking, okay, this is how it all ends. I break my neck on a ladder while trying to saturate the roof with this wet and forget. So I said, all right, maybe I miss a section of the roof or something because I'm coming down. So I make it down off the ladder, don't break my neck, which was great. I saturate the rest of the roof in as much saturated area as I try and get to it. Put everything away. My wife comes home and she's got that look. And if you're a husband, I think you'll appreciate this look, especially if you've been husband to somebody that's 8.5 months pregnant. She's got this look where she's almost expecting to be dissatisfied, right? So she goes up to our bedroom to inspect the roof. And she says, I still see parts of moss on here. And I said, that's moss that's growing beneath the shingle. It didn't come up when I tried to scrub it. Hopefully it comes off when the rain comes because I sprayed this stuff on it. She says, so when this doesn't come off tomorrow after it rains, you're going to go back on there and scrub more of it. I said, yes. So hopefully it works. Hopefully the moss is the cause of the leak. But other people are skeptical. And that first roofer that we brought back who put tar on our roof, he charged us another $100. Now, I think if my mother paid him $2,100 in October and the roof is leaking, he should throw that tar up there for free, especially since it's not working. So we'll see. Hopefully this moss issue is the problem. But if it's not, we'll have to figure out another solution. If you have suggestions, I got some good suggestions, including from my old high school buddy, Sal Giglia, referred another roofer to me. But if you have suggestions, you can email me, frank.morano@wabcradio.com. That's frank.morano@wabcradio.com. Or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/MoranoFan. 15 seconds of fame next if you want to be heard for 15 seconds. Straight ahead. All right, we're going to do a speed round of giving you an opportunity to be heard for 15 seconds as we do each and every morning.
The other side of midnight. This is 15 seconds of fame.
Terry, Fred in Yonkers, hello.
Hey, Frank, my favorite line from a Mel Brooks movie goes like this. Hey, King, you look like the P-Boy. Oh, yeah, you look like a bucket of... We want the flory dories. We want the flory dories.
Paula in Port Chester, hello.
Hi, Frank. A great, funny, scary movie I recommend is The Ghost and Mr. Chicken starring Don Knotts. I think Rachel will really enjoy it.
You know, that's one of her favorites, actually. Dan, got 15 seconds. Hello.
Hey, Frank, real quick. Number one, the roofing contractor, $2,100. That's very, very cheap. I'd be skeptical of that price. And the other thing is most likely moss does not really cause leaks. Where the leak is ending up doesn't necessarily mean...
Well, that's a bummer, Dan. Stay in touch. Email me, Frank Thompson.